middle of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Why haven't you gotten a VPN yet? Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Alrighty, so a couple of nights ago, there was a big debate in New York City between all of the mayoral candidates. And there are a few aspects of this that are amusing. Aspect number one, 7 of the 8 candidates said they actively did not want Bill de Blasio's endorsement for the mayoralty, which is a hell of a referendum on the guy who's the sitting mayor of New York City. That's how unpopular Bill de Blasio is inside his own city. He has aspirations to run for governor or senator. Dude couldn't win an election for dog catcher today in New York City because nobody likes him. And the reason is because the ideas of leftism have run headlong into the brick wall of reality in New York City. And so while the media continue to focus in on the inspirational wild left figures of New York, the people like Jamal Bowman and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bill de Blasio, the reality says something different. What the reality suggests is that when it comes to actual policy, New Yorkers are beginning to turn more toward the Rudy Giuliani sort of left-leaning social policy and right-leaning crime policy that characterized New York City throughout the Giuliani and Bloomberg administrations. Why? Well, because it worked in New York. You know, it doesn't work in New York. Anything that the Democrats have been doing there for the last 10 years. Okay, what they've been doing there for the last decade has wrecked the city, particularly in the last 5. And everybody knows this. So the media continue to trot around following around AOC. I just want to point out the mentality of the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez left. It is pretty astonishing. So there are a couple of things that are worth noting about the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez left mentality. Number one, they truly believe that your money is their money and that they have no obligation to do moral things with their money. This was an undercover story in the major media, but Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she recently posted photographs of her grandmother's squalid living conditions in Puerto Rico and blamed President Trump for the situation. She put on Twitter, "Just over a week ago, my grandmother fell ill. I went to Puerto Rico to see her. My first time in a year because of COVID. This is her home. Hurricane Maria relief hasn't arrived. Trump blocked relief dollars for Puerto Rico. People are being forced to flee ancestral homes and developers are taking them." And then she tweeted out a picture of her grandmother's roof, which appears to be collapsing in places. Later, she amended the tone of her comments. She wrote, 45 minutes later, her grandmother was doing okay. Now, the reason that she said that is because everybody pointed out that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has an annual salary of $174,000. She has no children. She doesn't have tremendously high expenses, except for the Tesla that she recently leased. And so everybody online was like, you know, Alexandria, before you blame Trump for your grandmother's squalid living conditions, your words, you might want to, like, check your wallet. Like, check your pocketbook. See, here's one of the things about conservatism. Conservatism suggests that there are a series of overlapping circles in terms of responsibility. Okay, when it comes to people who are in your immediate family and people who you are close to, you have chief responsibility in taking care of them. Then if that doesn't work, you go to your local community. And then if that doesn't work, you go to the larger community, to maybe an actual local government. You go to your state community. And then maybe at the very end, you get to the federal government. But the first line of defense against difficulty in life is your immediate circle. And so if my grandmother is having financial trouble, then I step in if I have the ability to do so. And this is what most people do. The fact that Alexandra, that it never even occurred to her, my grandmother's roof is falling apart. Maybe I should do something about that instead of leasing that Tesla. Maybe I should instead lease, you know, an electric Honda or something for like one-third the cost and send the extra over to grandma. The fact that apparently never occurred to her is just indicative of a particular mindset, which is it is never my responsibility to do anything. It is everybody else's responsibility to do everything. It's the government's responsibility to do everything. I mean, it's kind of an incredible indicator of exactly where this mentality lies. And it's true for national politics, too. If there's a problem in my immediate community, the problem must lie with a broader societal issue as opposed to what can I do about it today? And what can people do? Well, what can people with agency do to fix their own problems? Okay, so that is point number one. Point number two is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's view of crime. So yesterday, she did this presser, and it was kind of amazing. She was standing directly next to Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, and she was calling for more funding for mental health, which, fine. I'm on board with that. I think one of the great tragedies of public policy of the last 60 years is the attempt to federalize all mental health and institutionalization issues. It started under the JFK administration and moved forward with states shirking their duties, and this has led to a tremendous rise in homeless problem over the course of the last few decades. Okay, but Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is talking about crime, and here she is explaining that the real problem, the real reason why we have too much crime is because we are building too many jails. Let's check out how this works.
If we want to reduce violent crime, if we want to reduce the number of people in our jails, the answer is to stop building more of them. The answer is to make sure that we actually build more hospitals, we pay organizers, we get people mental health care and overall health care, employment, etc. It's to support communities, not throw them away.
Okay, look at the body language on Chuck Schumer there. Chuck Schumer is like, I want to crawl in a hole and die. He's right next to her. She says this. Because here's the thing. She's in a city where crime is skyrocketing, and her solution is build fewer jails. As someone on Twitter pointed out, this is akin to saying, if you want fewer sick people, build fewer hospitals. You build the jails to hold the criminals. You don't build the jails, and then there's an upsurge in demand for criminality. That's not how any of that works. Okay, but this sort of perverse thinking, that my problems are everybody else's problems, and my immediate family's problems don't fall on me, they fall on the government more broadly. And when it comes to criminality, that is a broader societal problem where the government is not supposed to step in and solve it. Instead, it's a broader societal problem that we just blame on everything else. That sort of mentality has crippled New York and continues to cripple New York. And you can see it play out in the New York mayoral race. Or if you look at the polls right now, the two people at the top of the heap in terms of the candidates are the two most conservative Democrats in the race. We'll get to that in just one second. First, big tech has been clamping down on free speech. And we're talking about Facebook or Twitter. They do restrict what you can say and whom you can follow. But even if you keep your accounts, you don't have to give big tech websites access to your data. You don't have to let them monetize you. That's why I choose to protect my online activity by using ExpressVPN. If you've ever wondered how free-to-access social media companies make their money, the answer is they track your searches, your video history, and everything you click on, and they sell all of that valuable data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from eavesdroppers on your network. And the ExpressVPN app couldn't be easier to use. You just tap one button on your phone or computer, and now you are protected. So, take back your online privacy with the VPN I trust at expressvpn.com/Ben. By visiting my link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free on a one-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Ben, EXPRESSVPN.com/Ben to protect your data today. ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Okay, so all this sort of idiocy has had serious consequences for New York. According to Joel Siegel, who's the managing editor of Spectrum News DC, NYPD now says the number of shootings in May of 2021 jumped 73% compared to May 2020. 173 shootings in May versus 100 last May. And that was on top of a 63% increase in May 2020 versus May of 2019. There were 61 shootings in New York in May 2019. Today, May 2021, 173 shootings in New York. That is the result of an administration that has decided that they are not going to police crime. They're going to release criminals back onto the street. It's an administration that has decided not to enforce the law, that is going to allow Black Lives Matter rioters to run roughshod through the center of New York City. This has downstream effect in terms of criminals believing they can get away with anything. I'm fully convinced, by the way, that the uptick in hate crimes that you have seen against Jews is fully connected with law enforcement's inability or unwillingness in areas around the country to actually police. When policing goes away, crime spikes. And that is true with regard to all types of crime, including hate crimes. Okay, that is a reversal of a trend, by the way. It is incredible how there's been this secular trend, meaning a widespread trend, for the last two decades in terms of lowering crime rates. Basically, from 1994 all the way until 2014, crime rates dropped precipitously like a stone. The reason for that is because people in major cities started taking policing seriously. Rudy Giuliani was elected in New York. Richard Reardon was elected in Los Angeles. You started to see all sorts of conservative policies attempted with regard to crime. And shockingly, crime dropped. Right? This was the days when Joe Biden used to talk about super predators and he used to back crime bills. And then, thanks to Barack Obama's administration and the rise of wild left crazy people like Bill de Blasio and Eric Garcetti and in major cities around the country, crime rates started to rise again because policy is indeed connected with human behavior. And you know who's starting to realize this? The people of New York. Because as it turns out, what the polling data shows in New York right now is that the people at the top of the heap in polling in New York are the most conservative candidates. There is no progressive near the top of the heap. According to USA Today, in what could be the most consequential mayoral elections in the city's recent history, a host of Democratic candidates in a tightly contested race are vying to become the Big Apple's next mayor. Eight major Democrats are making their final bids to New York City voters in a campaign that has touched on a variety of challenges facing the city, led to a diverse list of candidates, and featured plenty of Zoom calls. The leading contenders are Andrew Yang, who is still seizing on the energy around his 2020 Democratic presidential run. I know Andrew Yang because he was generous enough to do an interview with the show. I think he's a really good guy. I disagree with him with regard to universal basic income, which has been part of his pitch. But his main pitch has been, I am not an unreasonable, crazy person. His main pitch has been, we need to get corporations back into the city. We need to get jobs back into the city. And we need to give the police the resources necessary in order to shut down crime. Eric Adams, a former NYPD officer, zeroed in on public safety. That's been his main pitch. And then trailing the pack is Catherine Garcia, who's received a bunch of big name endorsements from the New York Daily News, but continues to trail in the polling because she is just not far right enough. The Republicans in the race are not competitive because, one, they're Republican, and two, because they're not the sort of Rudy Giuliani, quote-unquote, moderate Republican that did well in New York for so long. But Yang and Adams look a lot more like Ed Koch, who is the sort of gruff and avuncular mayor of New York starting in the late 1970s, who converted from being a radical left Bella Abzug progressive into being the sort of conservative-style Democrat who governed New York City for a while. These are those type of Democrats. This is leftism being rejected in places like New York City because leftism has failed in places like New York City. So it was fascinating. The other night they had this big debate, and the people who came off the worst by far were the people who were the most wildly to the left. And the people who came off the best were people like Adams and people like Andrew Yang. Now, the reason this makes a difference is because what happens in New York can happen nationally. Now, people like to say that the Democrats want to take California national. That's true. They also want to take New York national. But they don't want to take the style of Democratic governance of Michael Bloomberg national. Bloomberg ran for the presidency on the Democratic side of the aisle and received basically no support. Joe Biden seems to want to govern that way at times during his campaign, but then he's run to the radical left. He looks a lot more like AOC or like Jamal Bowman or like Bernie Sanders than he does like the Joe Biden that people thought they were going to get when they elected him. So what happens in New York is a good indicator as to what is going to happen nationally, meaning there will be a backlash. There will be a conservative backlash. If it's happening in New York, it can happen anywhere. So Andrew Yang has been facing a lot of this stuff down. So yesterday, for example, he was walking around at a Park Slope event, and he was shouted down by people screaming to defund the cops.
No more cops! No more cops! No more cops!
And you can see people trailing him, saying, hedge fund mayor. Okay, this is why Yang is going to do well in New York. But again, he has no history in elected politics. And if he doesn't win the mayoral race, he's going to come in a close second. They have ranked choice voting in New York, which means that I'm kind of a fan of ranked choice voting, to be honest with you. The way ranked choice voting works is that if you vote for one of the lower down candidates, number one on your ballot, and then you vote for Yang too, if the lower down candidate doesn't finish in the top couple of candidates, that person's votes are eliminated. And then your second choice becomes your first choice. And they just keep doing this until somebody wins. Okay, so Yang right now is running in the top two with Eric Adams. Eric Adams, of course, is a former cop. Okay, so Yang and Adams went at each other, but the more telling attacks were the ones that were put out against Adams and Yang for being too conservative, which is why they're winning. It's why they're doing well in New York. This can't be overstated. New Yorkers are seeing the results of the policies they chose, and they are not liking the results of the policies they chose, and they are reacting to the policies they chose by moving in a different direction. Democrats had better be wary. They'd better be wary. New York is a one-party city. And they're still moving to the right wing of the Democratic Party. We'll get to that in just one second. First, you know, before Policy Genius, it was very difficult to find affordable life insurance. And this month, you know, there's a lot going on. You're going to be busy. So A lot of people will try to find their life insurance. They know they need it, but they'll try to find it word of mouth while they're busy. Bad way to do it. Instead, head on over to Policy Genius. If somebody relies on your financial support, whether it's a child or an aging parent or even a business partner, you need life insurance. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. That could be like $1,300 or more per year. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius an excellent rating on Trustpilot. Getting started is super simple. First, head on over to PolicyGenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need and compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you're ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and the scheduling for free. Policy Genius never sells your information to the other companies. Policy Genius does not add on the extra fees. Instead, head on over to PolicyGenius.com to get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to play some of the clips from the New York City mayoral debate. As you will see, it turns out the left is losing steam even in New York City. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
When the forgotten poor are in need of healing, they wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, a floating hospital staffed by volunteers, heroes of mercy who donate their time to save lives.
Every human has the right to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see the smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Since COVID, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck, or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with a get-out-and-grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher-cut New York strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York strip burgers free with your order. Visit omahasteaks.com and type sizzle in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sizzle.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So if New York is a test case for how leftism is going, it ain't going well. And the New York City mayoral debate shows why. So Scott Stringer, who is one of these also ran candidates, he was expected to be more of a competitor in this particular race. He was the New York City comptroller, but then he was hit with a sort of sexual harassment accusation by a former political ally. He denies the allegations, but he's been trailing in the polls. He went after Andrew Yang and he said, you know, it seems to me like you're a Republican. That is not going to work. I mean, really, this is not a, and Yang just kind of was like, okay, it's kind of amazing.
as your consultants have told you time and time again, they admit you're an empty vessel. And I actually don't think you're an empty vessel. I think you're a Republican who continues to focus on the issues that will not bring back the economy. In fact, what you're focusing on, things like casinos in Governor's Island, you're focusing on TikTok houses in the midst of a housing crisis. And what I'm saying to you today is there is a budget crisis, but it's a budget crisis that with $6 billion in federal stimulus money, more money for the foundation aid coming from Albany, the next mayor
must have the experience
on day one who could manage closing the out-year $4 billion budget gaps.
Okay, well, this is going nowhere for Stringer because he attacks Yang as a TikTok influencer guy. Okay, first of all, in New York, everybody's a TikTok influencer. But second of all, attacking Yang as a Republican, it ain't going to do much. Okay, meanwhile, Maya Wiley, who is the most wild-eyed of the left candidates on the board, right? She's a longtime MSNBC contributor. She worked with the NAACP Legal Defense Fund as well as the ACLU and served as counsel to Bill de Blasio, which, again, that's a resume that is not going to resonate in a time when Bill de Blasio is, like, the most hated person in New York. She went after Eric Adams. So Eric Adams is a former police officer, and Eric Adams has talked about the fact that he wants to carry a gun, and he also wants to make sure that off-duty police officers can carry a gun in order to crack down on crime. This goes very poorly for Maya Wiley.
Mr. Adams has said he's carried a gun to church. He's asked off-duty officers to carry guns to church. He said he will carry a gun as mayor and maybe even ditch his detail. Eric, isn't this the wrong message to send our kids? We're telling not to pick up the guns.
Okay, and the way he responded was, I've used my gun in order to stop crime off-duty. And he mentioned people who had been victimized by crime in the city, which is the reason why he's in really good shape, Eric Adams. Again, he's a retired former captain in NYPD, and he is running on a platform that includes stepped-up policing, not stepped-down policing. The whole defund the police movement, the BLM, the police are the bad guys, all cops are bastards routine, that is not playing in New York City. You guys, you're reaping the whirlwind. And you're not feeling it because these people are registered Democrats. But when you elect Ed Koch Democrats as opposed to Bill de Blasio Democrats, that indicates that a sea change is happening in places like New York City. Meanwhile, Yang himself slammed Eric Adams. The battle in New York is also sort of internal. So Yang is going after Eric Adams. He says that Eric Adams has a corruption problem, which is kind of true. He is under investigation. I think three separate investigations, actually, for corruption issues.
Eric, we all know that you've been investigated for corruption everywhere you've gone. City, state, even Barack Obama's Department of Justice investigated you. You've achieved the rare trifecta of corruption investigations. Is that really what we want in the next mayor? You think you're going to enter City Hall and it's going to be different? We all know it's going to be exactly the same. That's why so many people on the stage don't want you to be mayor.
Okay, so here's the bottom line issue. You know, putting aside all of the sort of fireworks that happened on the stage the other night, right now, Americans are going to have a choice. Do they want the Bill de Blasioization of America, or do they want the Ron DeSantisization of America? Do they want to make California more like New York, or make California more like Florida, or make America more like Florida? Right, the idea of making America more like New York. New York is trying to be more like Florida now. New York is picking up. Why? Because people are leaving New York for Florida. The numbers are astonishing. There are a huge number of people who are snowbirds who are now taking their part-time residency in New York, and they're just moving it right down to Florida. You're seeing an influx of people from the Northeast, and that is because of the governing style in New York. If they hope to keep people, they're going to have to stop raising taxes. They're going to have to start backing cops. They're going to have to start backing private property rights again. They're going to have to start appealing to the business sensibilities of hedge funds that are in the city but can easily move. I know several people who are working at hedge funds who have moved their entire businesses down to Florida. I was meeting with the mayor of Miami yesterday. He was talking about the huge number of businesses that have been moving from New York to Miami, specifically because Miami is a friendly business climate. Even New Yorkers are beginning to recognize this, and this bodes really, really poorly for Democrats going forward. It's not going to bode well for them, especially because, again, Joe Biden is pursuing the New Yorkification of America, not the Floridization of America. Speaking of which, look at the way that the Biden administration is approaching economics. So yesterday, Jen Psaki, again, making the case we need to radically raise corporate tax rates.
He believes that we should continue to look at raising the corporate rate. That is a way to pay for a range of ideas. He's got a lot of ideas out there, a lot of bold proposals, including that aren't a part of this infrastructure negotiation. And he continues to believe that corporations can pay more. Unless you think corporations shouldn't pay any tax at all, and we'll leave that to others to speak to, then there should be a way to find a path to agreement.
Okay, well, I don't believe the corporations should pay any tax at all. All that money gets passed on to employees or in prices. That's all double tax money. All of it. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to get to the newest monthly jobs report, and how the Biden economic plan is doing. The answer, not well. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Don't miss Free Fire Radio weekday mornings from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes in the North State. From 7 to 10, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR also has an incredible weekend lineup, including The Plotline, Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds, and We the People on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCR.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Biden's economic plans are a fail. So there's data that came out yesterday, and it showed that hourly compensation is soaring. And the reason that it's soaring is because no one is going back to work. It is almost impossible to get people to go back to their jobs. Okay, when hourly compensation soars, you know what happens to prices? Prices go up as well. And when prices go up, your savings are worth less. And when your savings are worth less, this makes you poorer. Okay, so for the people who get those higher compensation jobs, not terrible. For everybody who has savings, not great. And for people who are not getting a raise, also not great. All of this is because in the short term, the Biden administration is blowing money into the economy. In the long term, what's going to happen is economic stagnation, as I talked about yesterday. It's not just that you're going to get inflation, which is an ill. But even if the inflation levels off, you're going to get economic stagnation. And Biden is admitting as much. He's admitting that we're going to have like 1.8% growth for the next 10 years. That sucks. Those numbers are bad. And the reason for that is because when you suck money out of the system with a vacuum and then you blow it back into the system via a bunch of redistributionist programs that get eaten up by the bureaucracy, you're removing the productivity from the economy. It is the reason you have not seen job growth recover at the pace that you would like to see. There's also a reason why Joe Biden is calling Lawrence Summers, the former Secretary of the Treasury, under Bill Clinton. According to the Washington Post, President Biden recently called former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, a Democrat who's been openly critical of his economic agenda, to acknowledge Summers' concerns and ask him to explain his objections, according to three people with knowledge of the private exchange. Biden made the call as the White House is weighing critical decisions on the economy, including how much and whether to trim a far-reaching infrastructure plan in response to Republican demands. The conversation also unfolded against a backdrop of warnings from Summers and others that Biden's spending plans present a risk of inflation and an overheating economy. The White House has downplayed the extent of the threat posed by inflation, arguing it will be transitory and manageable. But in recent months, Summers has engaged in increasingly bitter disagreements with White House aides. Summers has been warning that Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus package is way too big and will overheat the economy, spurring inflation that could prove hard for the Federal Reserve to control. White House officials keep dismissing this. They're frustrated that he keeps talking about it in the first place. Apparently, the call occurred late last month, but that doesn't mean that Biden is taking his foot off the gas. Of course not. Keep on keeping on. This is pop star, never stop, never spending. Okay, so Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, she came out yesterday. She said, we're not going to negotiate forever on infrastructure. We're just going to ram forward our program right here.
The president really does believe very strongly that the current tax structure is skewed, and he wants to rebalance it in favor of the middle class, the working class, and to close loopholes that allow corporations to offshore and to get away in many cases with not paying any income taxes, and that's not fair either. So there are other ways of skinning the cat, and that's part of this negotiation. But ultimately, we cannot just sit and negotiate forever. We have to get to an end.
Okay, what if your economic policies suck? Because the jobless numbers just came in. Here are the jobless numbers in May. The United States added 559,000 jobs in May. Now, that would be good, except we missed by 750,000 jobs last month. And we missed by 100,000 jobs the month before. The expectations going into this economic report, 671,000 jobs. So they missed by, again, 100,000 jobs. Again, 100,000 jobs. These are not good economic numbers. These are not the numbers that Joe Biden needs. And they're not the numbers America needs coming out of an artificially induced economic coma. The fact that they are trying to blow money into the economy and that it is not working is demonstrative of the reality, which is that when you threaten business, when you tell them you're going to raise the corporate tax rates, when you talk about making that retroactive, which frankly, I don't even know how that's constitutional, retroactive taxation. They're talking about making the corporate tax increase retroactive so that you can't escape it, because they know that if they make it proactive, there'll be a stock market hit immediately. But if you make it proactive that you're about to raise the corporate tax rate and that it doesn't have retroactive effects, then people are going to start shifting their money out of corporate stocks, for example, because they know the corporations are going to get hit. If you make it retroactive, then you say, okay, well, it's already priced in. But the fact that the Biden administration keeps on missing is fairly incredible, because it's so hard. I mean, it's the broad side of the barn here, guys. All you have to do is get out of the damned way. But you can't get out of the damned way because your policy prescriptions are not in line with reality, just like AOC's policy prescriptions in New York are not in line with reality. And so New Yorkers are beginning to turn towards something that doesn't look like AOC. They're moving away from Bill de Blasio. Americans are going to look at the Biden economic agenda, the Biden crime agenda, the Biden racial agenda, the Biden foreign policy agenda. They're going to start moving away from it. Now, I'm fairly confident. I mean, I've said this before. If Republicans don't win back the House in 2022, given what is on their side, honestly, every member of the Republican House should lose their job if the Republicans cannot win back the House in 2022. These are bad numbers, guys. I'm sorry, but 559,000 jobs in May with 650,000 jobs expected. Those are bad. This is three straight months of missing on jobs. Okay, again, what we are seeing also, average hourly earnings continue to surge 2%. The reason for that? Because people aren't reentering the workforce. There's high demand for labor and low supply of labor, so the prices are rising. This could lead to increased price inflation at a time of economic stagnation. Or it could just be economic stagnation for a long time. Either way, ain't nothing good happening because of the Biden economic agenda. By the way, quick note on this economic report, the labor force participation rate went down this month. Down. Okay, it should be precisely the opposite, right? The economy is getting back into full swing. You should be going back to work. But when you pay people to stay home, they don't go back to work. People have a bunch of money that the government stuffed in their pockets. They ain't going back to work. They're trying to spend the money, but there ain't the supply to keep up with the demand. That's how you get inflation. More dollars chasing fewer goods. But in the long run, is that price inflation going to last? Well, it depends. Are people going to continue to take out debt and blow it into the economy? Probably not when the demand ain't there. You're just going to end up with prolonged stagnation. Well done once again for the team Biden, for Team Biden. Just amazing stuff. No matter how many times their economic theories prove fraudulent and complete failures, no matter how many times they suck money out of the American economy and then blow it back in the wrong places, we're still going to pretend like they know what they're doing. It's fairly incredible that the geniuses who sit at the top of government, the people who can't tie their own shoelaces or properly eat soup, these people are going to run the economy better than you know how to run your own business. Alrighty, coming up, a stunning new Vanity Fair investigation. It really is amazing. Into the origins of COVID-19 and, more importantly, the cover-up of the origins of COVID-19. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with a get-out-and-grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher-cut New York strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York strip burgers free with your order. Visit omahasteaks.com and type sizzle in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sizzle.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Poor Sam was a mess. Always itching, licking. His paws were soaking wet. He had bald spots on his back.
DinoVite.com.
2 weeks after he started DinoVite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent.
DinoVite is nutrition.
DinoVite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my DinoVite from DinoVite.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Doctors Without Borders teams confront hard facts in conflict and crisis zones. When others look away, we step in to act. Because measles still kills more than 100,000 children every year, we're there to vaccinate more than 1 million. Because some countries have only one or two mental health professionals, we provided over 400,000 mental health consultations last year. The fact is, your support makes our life-saving work possible. Picture the impact we can have together. DoctorsWithoutBorders.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So credit where credit is due. There's an amazing piece in Vanity Fair today about the origins of COVID-19 and, more importantly, why an investigation into those origins was covered up by people at the highest levels of power in the United States. Fascinating new article by Catherine Eben in Vanity Fair titled "The Lab Leak Theory: Inside the Fight to Uncover COVID-19's Origins." Throughout 2020, the notion that the novel coronavirus leaked from a lab was off limits. Those who dared to push for transparency say toxic politics and hidden agendas kept us in the dark. Yeah, no bleep. Some of us have been saying this for quite a while. I mean, Tom Cotton got beat around by the media. I mean, they were just cudgeling him around the ears. How dare he point out that this thing probably leaked from a lab? It's just terrible. And it's amazing how they continue to downplay the lab leak theory, by the way. I mean, Anthony Fauci is like the worst on this. He's just terrible at this. So Anthony Fauci yesterday, he was asked about how he even gets to the bottom of the lab leak theory. And he was like, well, the key is, you got to be really nice to China. If you're really nice to China, I think that'll really... Don't be accusatory. Be nice to them. Here's Anthony Fauci saying things that make no sense, as per his usual arrangement.
Obviously, you want openness and cooperation. One of the ways you can get it is don't be accusatory. Try to get both a forensic, a scientific, and an investigational approach. I think the accusatory part about it is only going to get them to pull back even more. We've got to do it in a combination of diplomacy, scientific, forensic investigation, and do it in a way that the people of good faith, not who want to do blame.
I love how he's like, we don't want people who want to do blame around here. We can't have people who want to do blame. That would be terrible. They might blame me. You know where that's going, right? I mean, the people who have been most accusatory are the ones who have been most accurate so far. Dr. Fauci. And then, watch, like, Fauci's like, trust people like me. But then, he's asked about the lab leak theory, and he's like, what if I just completely mischaracterize the lab leak theory entirely so I can dismiss it? Here he was on CNN yesterday. He's just, man, this guy needed to be fired months ago.
I don't remember what's in that redacted, but there, I mean, the idea, I think, is quite far-fetched that the Chinese deliberately engineered something so that they could kill themselves as well as other people. I think that's a bit far out, John.
Hey, no one was making the argument, as far as I'm aware, that China militarized the virus just to release it on an unsuspecting world. It's called a leak, lab leak theory. It leaked from a lab. Yeah, but this is the one you should trust. I mean, Captain Science over here. Meanwhile, the NIH director was doing the same thing yesterday, downplaying the investigation. It's not important. Why do we even need to know how this thing originated? We have to have a full-scale congressional investigation into why 300 droogs invaded the Capitol building and then were immediately removed. 400 people were arrested, and the process of government went on. We need to have a full-scale investigation. But the release of a virus that's killed 3 million people worldwide, including 600,000 Americans, why do we need to know where that came from, says the head of the NIH.
I agree we need to get to the bottom of this, but gosh, you and I just spent a whole bunch of minutes here talking about some issue that we need to get an answer to, and meanwhile people are still dying from COVID-19, and we didn't even talk about the ways to get to an end of this with vaccines. So please, could we have a bit more of the focus on how we're going to save lives while we're talking about how this all started?
Amazing. Amazing. Okay, so what actually happened here in terms of silencing the COVID lab leak theory? According to this Vanity Fair piece, Gilles Stemenuf is a data scientist with the Bank of New Zealand in Auckland. He was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome 10 years ago, and believes it gives him a professional advantage. I'm very good at finding patterns in data when other people see nothing, he says. Early last spring, as cities worldwide were shutting down to halt the spread of COVID-19, Stemenuf, 52, began reading up on the origins of SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes the disease. The prevailing theory was that it had jumped from bats to some other species before making the leap to humans at a market in China, where some of the earliest cases appeared in late 2019. The Huanan wholesale market in the city of Wuhan is a complex of markets selling seafood, meat, fruit, and vegetables. A handful of vendors sold live wild animals a possible source of the virus. That wasn't the only theory, though. Wuhan is also home to China's foremost coronavirus research laboratory, housing one of the world's largest collections of bat samples and bat virus strains. The Wuhan Institute of Virology's lead coronavirus researcher, Shai Zhengli, was among the first to identify horseshoe bats as natural reservoirs for SARS-CoV, the virus that sparked an outbreak in 2002, killing 774 people and sickening more than 8,000 globally. After SARS, bats became a major subject of study for virologists around the world, and Xi became known in China as Batwoman for her fearless exploration of their caves to collect samples. More recently, Xi and her colleagues at the WIV have performed high-profile experiments that made pathogens more infectious. Such research, known as gain-of-function, has generated heated controversy among virologists. To some people, it seems natural to ask whether the virus causing the global pandemic had somehow leaked from one of the WIV's labs, a possibility Xi has strenuously denied. On February 19, 2020, The Lancet, among the most respected and influential medical journals in the world, published a statement that roundly rejected the lab leak hypothesis, effectively casting it as a xenophobic cousin to climate change denialism and anti-vaxxism. Signed by 27 scientists, the statement expressed, quote, solidarity with all scientists and health professionals in China and asserted, we stand together to strongly condemn conspiracy theories suggesting that COVID-19 does not have a natural origin. The Lancet statement effectively ended the debate over COVID-19's origins before it began. To Gil Zimanoff, following along from the sidelines, it was as if everything had been nailed to the church, as if it had been nailed to the church doors, establishing the natural origin theory as orthodoxy. Everyone had to follow it. Everyone was intimidated. That set the tone. That statement struck Zimanoff as totally non-scientific. He began searching for patterns in the available data. It wasn't long before he spotted one. China's laboratories were said to be airtight, with safety practices equivalent to those in the U.S. and other developed countries. But Zimanoff soon discovered there had been four incidents of SARS-related lab breaches since 2004, two occurring at a top lab in Beijing. Due to overcrowding there, a live SARS virus that had been improperly deactivated had been moved to a refrigerator in a corridor. A grad student then examined it in the electron microscope room and sparked an outbreak. Zimanoff published his findings in a Medium post titled The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, a review of SARS lab escapes. By then, he'd begun working with another armchair investigator, Rodolphe de Maistre, a laboratory project director based in Paris who had previously studied and worked in China. De Maistre was busily debunking the notion that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was a laboratory at all. In fact, the WIV housed numerous laboratories that worked on coronaviruses. Only one of them has the highest biosafety protocol, BSL-4, in which researchers must wear full-body pressurized suits with independent oxygen. Others are designated BSL-3 and even BSL-2, roughly as secure as an American dentist's office. Having connected online, Zimanoff and de Maistre began assembling a comprehensive list of research labs in China. As they posted their findings on Twitter, they were soon joined by others around the world. Some were cutting-edge scientists at prestigious research institutes. Others were science enthusiasts. At times, it seemed the only other people entertaining the lab leak theory were crackpots or political hacks hoping to wield COVID-19 as a cudgel against China. President Trump's former political advisor, Steve Bannon, for instance, joined forces with an exiled Chinese billionaire named Gao Wangui to fuel claims that China had developed the disease as a bioweapon and unleashed it on the world. With disreputable right-wing nuts on one side of them and scornful experts on the other, the researchers often felt as if they were on their own in the wilderness working on the world's most urgent mystery. They weren't alone. When Trump himself floated the lab leak hypothesis last April, his divisiveness and lack of credibility made things more, not less, challenging for those seeking the truth. The researchers are doing better research than the U.S. government, says David Asher, a former senior investigator under contract to the State Department. The question is why. That is the question. The question isn't what Trump was saying. The question is what was the scientific community doing for a full year? For a full year. According to Vanity Fair, it's all about Trump. In the wake of the Lancet statement, under the cloud of Donald Trump's toxic racism, which contributed to an alarming wave of anti-Asian violence in the U.S., one possible answer to this all-important question remained largely off-limits until the spring of 2021. Behind closed doors, however, national security and public health experts and officials across a range of departments in the executive branch were locked in a high-stakes battle over what could and couldn't be investigated and made public, according to Vanity Fair. A months-long Vanity Fair investigation, interviews with more than 40 people, a review of hundreds of pages of U.S. government documents, including internal memos, meeting minutes, and email correspondence, found a conflict of interest stemming in part from large government grants supporting controversial virology research hampered the U.S. investigation into COVID-19's origin at every step. In one State Department meeting, officials seeking to demand transparency from the Chinese government say they were explicitly told by colleagues not to explore the Wuhan Institute of Virology's gain-of-function research because it would bring unwelcome attention to U.S. government funding of it. I mean, this is bombshell kind of stuff, right? That the State Department was actively telling people, do not investigate where this came from because it might expose the fact that the U.S. State Department has been providing support via channels to WIV's gain-of-function research, and WIV may have released this thing accidentally. So instead, it was important to cover up China's involvement, and also, you could always just blame it on Trump's toxic racism, absolutely. In an internal memo obtained by Vanity Fair, Thomas DiNanno, former acting assistant secretary of the State Department's Bureau of Arms Control, Verification, and Compliance, wrote that staff from two bureaus, his own and the Bureau of International Security and Nonproliferation, warned leaders within his bureau not to pursue an investigation into the origin of COVID-19 because it would open a can of worms if it continued. So don't investigate? Apparently, according to Vanity Fair, in late March, former CDC Director Robert Redfield received death threats from fellow scientists after telling CNN he believed COVID-19 had originated in a lab. "I was threatened and ostracized because I proposed another hypothesis," Redfield told Vanity Fair. "I expected it from politicians. I didn't expect it from science." I mean, it's amazing. Dr. Richard Ebright, Board of Governors, professor of chemistry and chemical biology at Rutgers, said that from the very first reports of a novel bat-related coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan, it took him a nanosecond, or a picosecond, to consider a link to the WIV. Only two other labs in the world, in Galveston, Texas, and Chapel Hill, North Carolina, were doing similar research. It's not a dozen cities, he said, it's three places. Then came the revelation that the Lancet statement was not only signed, but organized by a zoologist named Peter Daszak. You may remember Peter Daszak from our episode a couple of days ago about Dr. Anthony Fauci's emails. Daszak sent Fauci an email thanking him for killing the rumors of gain-of-function research being responsible for this. So apparently that Lancet statement rejecting the COVID lab leak theory as racist was organized by Daszak, who has repackaged U.S. government grants and allocated them to facilities conducting gain-of-function research, among them the WIV itself. David Asher, now a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, ran the State Department's day-to-day COVID-19 origins inquiry. He said it soon became clear there is a huge gain-of-function bureaucracy inside the federal government. On May 26th, the steady crescendo of questions led President Biden to release a statement acknowledging the intelligence community had coalesced around two likely scenarios and announced he had asked for a more definitive conclusion within 90 days. In the words of David Feith, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State in the East Asia Bureau, the story of why parts of the U.S. government were not as curious as many of us think they should have been is a hugely important one. So again, there was consistent pressure inside the U.S. government not to investigate this stuff. According to Vanity Fair, on December 9, 2020, roughly a dozen State Department employees from four different bureaus gathered in a conference room in Foggy Bottom to discuss an upcoming fact-finding mission to Wuhan organized in part by the WHO. The group agreed on the need to press China to allow a thorough, credible, and transparent investigation. The conversation then turned to a more sensitive question. What should the U.S. government say publicly about the Wuhan Institute of Virology? A small group within the State Department's Arms Control Verification and Compliance Bureau had been studying the WIV for months. They had acquired classified intelligence suggesting three WIV researchers conducted gain-of-function experiments and then fell ill in autumn 2019. As officials at the meeting discussed what they should share with the public, they were advised by Christopher Park, director of the State Department's Biological Policy Staff in the Bureau of International Security and Nonproliferation, not to say anything that would point to the U.S. government's own role in gain-of-function research. Some of the attendees were absolutely floored, said an official familiar with the proceedings, that someone in the U.S. government could make an argument that was so nakedly against transparency in light of the unfolding catastrophe was shocking and disturbing. Park, who in 2017 had been involved in lifting a U.S. government moratorium on funding for gain-of-function research, was not the only official to warn the State Department investigators against digging in sensitive places. As the group probed the lab leak scenario, among other possibilities, its members were repeatedly advised not to open a Pandora's box, said four former State Department officials interviewed by Vanity Fair. "The admonitions smelled like a cover-up," said DiNanno, "and I wasn't going to be a part of it." Park said, "I'm skeptical that people genuinely felt they were being discouraged from presenting facts." He added that he was simply arguing it's making an enormous and unjustifiable leap to suggest that research of that kind meant something untoward is going on. Again, this looks very much like a cover-up, and it looks like a cover-up that was politically motivated by bureaucrats inside the government and media outside the government. Bureaucrats inside protecting their own asses because they were involved in funding of gain-of-function research in China that could have led to the creation and then leaking of COVID-19. And a media willing to not investigate, not cover this stuff. Because the reality is, all of this information was available at the earliest date, and the media were complicit in covering it up. The media were too busy asking Joe Biden about his cat. By the way, they continue to be too busy, generally, asking Joe. You know the Biden administration still has not been asked serious questions by anyone other than Peter Ducey about the Wuhan lab leak theory and the cover-up? I mean, it's fairly impressive, I will admit, the media's performance on all of this. Pretty incredible stuff, and good for the folks at Vanity Fair for late, but late is better than never. It's an incredible story. You should go check it out over at Vanity Fair, because it really is telling what it means when bureaucrats run the systems. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Biden appears to be patting himself on the back, claiming the May jobs report as more evidence of an economic recovery. The story from White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
The addition of 559,000 jobs in May was an improvement over April, and the president calls it great news.
Unemployment rate fell to 5.8%. And wages went up for American workers.
But the monthly job report still shows evidence that many companies are struggling to find enough workers. That didn't stop Mr. Biden from declaring that a post-pandemic economic recovery is underway.
America is finally on the move again.
Greg Clugston, Washington.
A new government report fails to give a definitive explanation of UFOs spotted by military pilots. It finds no evidence they're linked to any aliens, but doesn't deny the possibility either. Report examines an unexplained sighting from recent years that in some cases have been captured on video as the pilots talked about the objects flying in front of them. Also at townhall.com, banking giant J.P. Morgan Chase taking sides in the dispute over the 2020 election results.
J.P. Morgan Chase says it will suspend political donations through the 2022 midterm election cycle for Republicans who voted against certifying President Biden's Electoral College win. The bank's PAC had already frozen political giving in the wake of the January 6th Capitol riot. Reuters was the first to report that J.P. Morgan now says it will resume donations except to a handful of the 147 Republicans who voted against certification. Bob Agnew reporting.
Facebook will suspend former President Donald Trump's accounts for 2 years following its finding that he allegedly stoked violence ahead of the riot at the Capitol. Facebook says it will reassess that suspension in 2 years. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Looking for a way to pay for that new home improvement you've been waiting for? Ready to consolidate credit card debt at a lower interest rate? Figure offers multiple loan options that can help you improve your finances. From mortgage refinances to home equity lines and personal loans, Figure can help you find a loan that's right for you. Figure takes all the stress and hassle out of the process. Apply 100% online at figure.com and see your new rate in a few clicks. Figure out your finances at figure.com.
Figure Lending LLC. Equal Opportunity Lender. NMLS 1717824. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with the Get Out and Grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher-cut New York strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York strip burgers free with your order. Visit omahasteaks.com and type cookout in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword cookout.
Finance ministers from the G7's leading economies holding talks in London. They're discussing ways to ensure that giant tech companies pay more taxes.
There are two strands in international negotiations on business taxation: getting technology firms to pay more in the countries where their users are, and agreeing a minimum rate for profits taxes. The four European Union finance ministers said in their letter that an agreement was within reach and now was the time to do it. Three of them, from Germany, France and Italy, are at the G7 meeting, which is discussing the issue.
That is correspondent Andrew Walker from the BBC. Controversy in the Buckeye State. The head of an American Legion post in Ohio stepping down amid criticism following the decision of Memorial Day ceremony organizers to turn off a retired U.S. Army officer's microphone while he was speaking about freed black slaves. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Regulators say a new version of a popular diabetes medicine can be sold as a weight loss drug in the United States.
The Food and Drug Administration on Friday approved Wegovy. It's a higher dose version of a diabetes drug from the Danish company Novo Nordisk. In company-funded studies, participants taking Wegovy had average weight loss of 15%. Participants lost weight steadily for 16 months before plateauing. In a comparison group getting dummy shots, the average weight loss was about 2.5%, More than 100 million adults in the U.S. are obese. Like other weight loss drugs, it's supposed to be used along with exercise and a healthy diet. Keith Peters reporting.
Wall Street Friday, the Dow was up 179 points. NASDAQ climbed 200 for the day. S&P up 37. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Why haven't you gotten a VPN yet? Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Well, the jobs report is out, and it ain't great. The jobs report added about 559,000 jobs. Now, this follows a month where the jobs report missed by 740,000 jobs. And that followed a month where the jobs report, which was initially 916,000 jobs, was revised downward to 770,000 jobs. So the third straight monthly miss by the Biden administration. They were expected to gain about 670,000 jobs. They missed by over 100,000 jobs again. Meanwhile, the labor force participation rate went down, down. Fewer people attempted to re-enter the workforce. We're supposed to be in a recovery, gang. And we are, but as per the Obama example, it's a much slower recovery than otherwise would be because you are sucking money out of the economy. You're putting money in the wrong places. You're encouraging people not to work. And you are threatening corporations with higher corporate taxes post facto. Can't imagine where all this is coming from. The gains are being driven by the leisure and hospitality sector. Those added 292,000 workers because everybody has some money in their pocket from the stimmy. And so they're going on vacation. Almost two-thirds of those gains were in food services and drinking places. That's bars and restaurants again. Strong gains were also seen in amusement, gambling, and recreation, and in accommodation. But you actually saw a job loss of like 20,000 in construction. And that is because of supply chain holdups and rising prices. Inflation is having an impact there. Now, the way the media are covering this, it's really shocking. I mean, it really is kind of incredible. So here is a tweet from Heather Long. Heather Long is the Washington Post economics correspondent. Quote, in summary, May was a solid month for hiring. At that pace, the job market would likely be fully recovered by the end of 2022. 2022? The hell? What are you even... Why? Why? This whole thing was created by COVID. All of it. Okay, every bit of the job loss, every bit of the economic downturn was created by COVID. Every single element of it. There's nothing structurally wrong. We had 3.6% unemployment. We had high wage growth. And then COVID hit. Everyone went at home. Hey, now the pandemic is over. It is over by every available metric. People are going back to work. People aren't wearing masks anymore because they're vaccinated. And you're telling me that the economy might recover by the end of next year? I mean, I may not be an expert on calendars, but I can read one. And right now it is June 4th, 2021. The economy might be recovered by the end of next year to where it was before the pandemic? Why? For what reason? This is bad policy, and the media are just covering up for the unbelievably crappy policy, as always, because it's Joe Biden's crappy policy, and we have to cover about it. We have to cover for it. It's the only way. Again, the labor force participation rate going the wrong way is just an indicator as to what's happening. It's what Republicans have been saying. When you pay people to stay home, they do not go to work. When you give people stimmy checks, they don't go to work. They don't go back. All they do is raise prices. They create additional demand without any sort of additional supply. And you get inflation, which lowers people's savings abilities. And then the Fed is running out of tools. So this has been a point that Mohammed El-Erian the head of Alliance, has been pointing out for a long time. He said, when you have the Federal Reserve basically deciding the monetary policy and using that monetary policy in order to spur borrowing and lending, and when they exhaust all their tools by going to a 0% rate, they have no place else to go to spur economic activity. And normally, if there were like an interest rate of a couple percent, you'd see them cut that interest rate in the overnight markets rate. They would cut that a little bit, and then you would see additional borrowing activity, people spending that money and creating jobs. But what happens when the rate is zero and people have no additional reason to borrow additional money? Can't actually do anything with that additional money. Well, now the Fed is out of resources. The answer here is you have to leave people the hell alone. And this is where it makes sense to actually look at the state unemployment rates. If you look at the state unemployment rates in the United States today, right now, the state unemployment rates by state are indubitably states that are Republican. Okay, here are the state unemployment rates for April of 2021, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Nebraska, 2.8%. New Hampshire, 2.8%. South Dakota, 2.8%. Utah, 2.8%. Okay, then you get Vermont. Okay, Vermont's at 2.9. Then you get Idaho, Republican. Kansas, Republican. Alabama, Republican. Montana, Republican. Iowa, Republican. Indiana, Republican. Wisconsin, purple. Minnesota, blue. Okay, so we have now named 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We've named 13 states. Of those 13 states, there are a grand total of two that could be considered outright blue. Minnesota and Vermont. The other 11 are either red or purple. And this trend continues. Here are the next few states. Missouri, red. North Dakota, red. Georgia, red. Oklahoma, red. Arkansas, red. Kentucky, red. Ohio, red. Virginia, purple. Florida, red. Okay, so, I mean, like, what are you guys even talking about? It's economic policy in these states that is driving unemployment rates. And it works in the reverse way as well. Here are the unemployment rates in blue states, okay? Hawaii, 8.5% unemployment rate in April. California, 8.3% unemployment rate. New York, 8.2% unemployment rate. New Mexico, 8.2%. Connecticut, 8.1%. Nevada, 8%. New Jersey, 7.5%. D.C., 7.5%. Are you noticing a correlation here, gang? It turns out that your crappy fiscal policy in all your major cities is driving unemployment. But we should just keep doubling down on this, probably. Alrighty, in just one second, we'll get to Facebook, which is now considering basically withdrawing freedom of speech for politicians, which is a unique move. We'll get to that in just a second. First, this should serve as your reminder that you should not trust big tech at all. Okay, I'm not saying you should cancel your big tech accounts because, frankly, they're useful. I'm not canceling my Facebook account, but one way that I protect myself from the predations of big tech is I block the ISP that they use to track me and then monetize my data. I do this with ExpressVPN. If you've ever wondered how free-to-access social media companies make their money, the answer is they track your searches, video history, and everything you click on, and then they sell your valuable data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from eavesdroppers on your network. And the ExpressVPN app could not be easier to use. You just tap one button on your phone or computer, and now you are protected. Take back your online privacy with the VPN I trust at expressvpn.com/bentoday. Visiting my link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free on a one-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/ben. expressvpn.com/ben. Protect your data today. Go check them out right now. expressvpn.com/ben. All right, meanwhile, The Verge is reporting that Facebook is going to end special treatment for politicians after they banned Trump. So Facebook had a rule. It was a good rule. The rule was politicians were able to post on Facebook. The reason that this was a good rule is because we, the public, we have a right to know and an interest in knowing what politicians say. If they say something terrible, we should know about it. If they say something radical, we should know about it. It should not be up to Facebook to decide the Overton window for politicians. After all, Facebook should be answerable to its users. Politicians are answerable to the people. When Facebook acts as an intermediary between politicians and the public, what they are actually doing is preventing us from knowing what we need to know about politicians. But apparently, according to The Verge, Facebook plans to end its controversial policy that mostly shields politicians from content moderation rules that apply to other users, a sharp reversal that could have global ramifications for how elected officials use the social network. The change, which Facebook is set to announce as soon as Friday, comes after the Oversight Board affirmed its decision to suspend President Donald Trump, but critiques the special treatment it gives politicians, stating the same rules should apply to all users. The board gave Facebook till June 5th to respond to its policy recommendation. So instead of Facebook saying, you know what, you're right. The broad standards we have with politicians should apply to everyone, which is what should happen. Instead, they're like, what if the narrow, arbitrary rules we apply to everyone also applied to politicians? The ratchet only works one way at the big tech companies. Facebook also plans to shed light on the secretive system of strikes it gives accounts for breaking its content rules, according to two people familiar with the changes. That will include letting users know when they've received a strike for violating its rules that could lead to suspension. Facebook is also set to begin disclosing when it uses a special newsworthiness exemption to keep up content from politicians and others that would otherwise violate its rules. The changes are notable for Facebook since it historically has taken a hands-off approach to what elected officials say on its service. Again, it is necessary to note here that Mark Zuckerberg, the head of Facebook, has given many speeches in which he has touted the merits of a free speech model. More speech, not less speech. More open debate, not less debate. And then, after 2016, Democrats decided social media was the problem. And so social media had to be targeted. If social media would not become a tool against the right, then they would destroy it. And Facebook, doing what other major corporations do, has decided, it looks like, to cave. The hands-off policy for political speech faced intense blowback when Trump used Facebook to stoke division after the murder of George Floyd. Okay, again, amazing how only one side stokes division. Chuck Schumer ain't going to be suspended anytime in the near future. Ilhan Omar ain't going to be suspended from Facebook for any of her anti-Semitic comments, obviously. This ratchet only works in one direction. Now, here's the thing. Here's the reality. All of these major corporations, they are so damned scared of the left, but they don't actually have to be, because in the end, no one has the attention span for this crap. No one. Perfect indicator of this. Today, in the Washington Post, the NCAA threatened states over anti-transgender bills, but the games went on. In the deep red state of Oklahoma, civil rights advocates are used to finding themselves nearly powerless to combat legislation targeting LGBTQ people. Sometimes they say all they can do is hold their breath and wait to see what happens. But this year, amid a torrent of anti-transgender legislation sweeping through Republican-controlled statehouses, advocates in Oklahoma found what they believed was a powerful ally, the NCAA. First of all, notice the bias here. None of this legislation is quote-unquote anti-trans. It is protecting women from having to compete against biological males. Okay, so first of all, the language used here by the Washington Post is utterly unsubstantiated. But here is the broader point, which is sort of made in way of passing here. The NCAA threatened all these states. The states said no. The NCAA didn't run away. Because it turns out, Republicans have market power too. According to the Washington Post, college sports are an economic powerhouse in Oklahoma, including the annual NCAA softball championship in Oklahoma City. This spring, as a bill to ban transgender girls and young people from participating in women's sports moved through Oklahoma's legislature, the threat of losing the Women's College World Series and other NCAA tournaments made Republican lawmakers cautious. Then in April, the NCAA issued a statement that seemed to threaten to pull championships from states with these bills. But weeks later, the NCAA awarded regional championships in softball to three states that had passed their own bans on transgender children's participation in sports. But here's the deal. The NCAA should not be intervening here. It is none of their damned business. States are allowed to govern themselves. And if the NCAA, by the way, does not wish to hold championship games in states that protect women's sports, it's unbelievable. The NCAA specifically has funding for women's sports because of Title IX. And these states are like, well, you know what? We're not going to allow men to compete with women. And the NCAA is like, well, we will respond by thoroughly destroying sports in your state. So fine, you know what will happen? There'll be new leagues that spring up that are not the NCAA. There'll be new leagues that spring up in which red state teams play red state teams. And we'll see how that works out for everybody. The NCAA isn't the be-all, end-all, and they know it. Pushback meets with cowardice. If these corporations are cowardly, which they are, they will be cowards no matter who is attempting to leverage them. This is something good for conservatives to remember and something good for corporations to be reminded of from time to time. Alrighty, in just one second, we're going to be talking with Andy Ngo. Andy, of course, is a journalist who's been uncovering the violence and evil of Antifa. He was recently beaten on the streets to apparently the complete deafening silence of a mainstream media that declared itself deeply threatened by Donald Trump. We'll get to that in just one second. First, right now is a great time to save money on your mortgage. If you look at that monthly bill, probably your mortgage is your biggest bill. Well, right now you can lower that mortgage. Why would you not do so? The historically low interest rates we've gotten used to are slightly rising as of late, but they are still low enough many homeowners can benefit. In fact, 13 million are still eligible for almost $300 in monthly savings. That could be you. An easy way to find out. You call American Financing for a free mortgage review. It is free, no obligation, no upfront or hidden fees, no pressure. Just a simple conversation around low-rate loan programs. They'll customize solutions. You'll choose what you like. It could mean up to $1,000 in monthly savings. And you could postpone 2 mortgage payments as well. You've got to call American Financing to get started, and you have to do it right now before the rates start to rise again. 866-721-3300. That is 866-721-3300. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net. American Financing, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Go check them out right now, AmericanFinancing.net, or give them a call, 866-721-3300. That's 866-721-3300. All right, coming up, we'll be joined by journalist Andy Ngo. He's being targeted not only by Antifa members trying to beat him to death, but also apparently media members attempting to cover for them. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck, or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Daisy sheds like crazy.
Our hairballs have hairballs.
Our cat mama, she has dandruff and an oily coat.
DINOVITE.com.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them.
Dynavite is a life changer.
Lately, she's been a lot more playful, a lot more energetic, more active.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with the Get Out and Grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher-cut New York strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York strip burgers free with your order. Visit OmahaSteaks.com and type sizzle in the search bar. That's OmahaSteaks.com, keyword sizzle.
America's kids are returning to class, in school and at home. And this year, learning is especially tough for kids who already struggle with poverty, emotional trauma, and other barriers. But Communities in Schools is helping by putting caring adults in schools to connect with kids. And now, we're reaching beyond school walls, tutoring, mentoring, and counseling students, providing resources for at-home learning, doing whatever it takes to make sure all kids have the opportunity to learn and succeed. For more information, visit communitiesinschools.org.
Welcome back. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Andy Ngo, an American journalist, best known for covering protests in Portland, Oregon. Obviously, his book, Unmasked, Inside Antifa's Radical Plan to Destroy Democracy, was a massive bestseller, despite the best efforts of the media to prevent it from becoming so. Andy, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thank you for having me on.
So, Andy, maybe you can explain what happened to you this week. So, another week, another baying mob attempting to run you down and beat the hell out of you. So, what happened?
2 years ago, I was beaten on the streets of Portland while covering a protest turned riot by Antifa, and in the 2 years since, I've continued to cover them. And, you know, I assumed the risk of taking on this beat, but Antifa is too dangerous to ignore. And I've been able to mitigate many of the risks. And, you know, the result of that is the book on masks. But unfortunately, on Friday night, they had developed some new protocols to try to root out any potential people who are outsiders. So I was fully masked up and part of their uniform and was walking amongst them in their now weekly violent protests. And they became suspicious towards the end, interrogated me, and one of them reached out and pulled off my mask and goggles, and I was fully exposed, and they took after me, and I was chased throughout downtown by the mob. There was no police. One of them tackled me to the ground and was punching me repeatedly, and I have injuries to my body and head as a result of that. In a moment when I was pinned to the ground, I could hear the screaming mob approaching, and I knew that if this mob, the rest of them caught up, they would kill me, as they have promised for 2 years now. But the person who's pinning me down got distracted or scared because there were journalists who were recording or taking pictures of this assault. And in that moment, I crawled away and ran into the nearest thing that was open, which was a hotel, and just pleaded for them to call 911, which they wouldn't do. They told me to put on a mask, by the way. That was the first thing they said. So they wouldn't call 911. Fortunately, I still had my phone on me. I called 911. And by now, the mob is outside the hotel, pounding on the windows, trying to break in. So I ran in the elevator and hid on another floor. It took dozens of riot police to respond to secure the hotel because these people were calling for my blood. I was taken through a discreet exit in the back of the building that no one knew about, and there was an ambulance there and took me to hospital, and I have since fled Portland because they're trying to hunt me down, Ben.
There is virtually zero mainstream media coverage of the incident. So the entire mainstream media, which declared itself as an existential physical risk thanks to the evils of President Trump, completely ignore the fact that you're a journalist covering a violent group and that they have repeatedly attempted to kill you. And apparently not only is this unworthy of coverage, but every time you trend on Twitter, a bunch of blue check marks immediately declare that you are not a journalist. In fact, one blue check said you weren't a journalist, so Twitter just removed the designation journalist from their little story about what happened to you. Why do you think the media are so focused on protecting Antifa that they're unwilling to defend people who are actually covering Antifa?
Yeah, so that big tech defining who is a journalist or not is a bigger deal than it appears. You know, like, it's just, in my particular instance, it's just a particular news curating, and I don't really care about it. But the reason why so many of my detractors don't consider me the first thing they respond to whenever, as they did 2 years ago when I was assaulted, is they say Andy's not a journalist, because on one side of their mouth they say that press freedom is sacred, that the freedom of a journalist can never be attacked. But at the same time, they do want people who are journalists that they can't control, who put out information at their convenience, to be intimidated, silenced, and if needed, assaulted, such as myself. So that's why they play this game of saying Andy's not really a journalist, implying indirectly that I was some type of provocateur that is deserving of this. And really, it's about taking away the one thing that unites all decent people, in that, you know, everybody on the left and right can recognize that what happened to me 2 years ago, what happened to me last Friday, was wrong. It's the one thing that people express sympathy for me, right? And and my detractors, and unfortunately many of them are journalists, they want to take that away because they don't want me to be seen as a sympathetic person, because they don't want people to read my reporting, to really understand that Antifa is not a anti-racist, anti-fascist, peaceful movement for reform in America. It's a violent, anarchist, communist, anti-government, insurrectionary movement that carry out acts of organized violence that includes killings.
Well, Andy, no, he's doing courageous work out there, despite the best efforts of the media to cover it up. But there is appetite, obviously, for that work. His book is Unmasked, Inside Antifa's Radical Plan to Destroy Democracy. Andy, appreciate your time, and hope you're feeling better soon from this latest assault.
Thanks for allowing me to share my story.
All righty. Coming up, we'll be joined by an author of a book about New York City and why it is in a state of widespread decline. Will New York recover anytime soon? The signs are ominous for the greatest city in America. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big. With their $4.99 special, Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen. And KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
888-809-6007.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Seth Baron, Managing Editor of The American Mind, a publication of the Claremont Institute. He has a brand new book out titled The Last Days of New York Reporters, A True Tale, in which he explores how New York has been basically hollowed out. Seth, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben. I'm glad to be here.
So let's talk about your new book. Obviously, we have seen New York mayoral candidates debating just a couple of nights ago, and it is kind of astonishing how every single one of those candidates, with the exception, I believe, of Maya Wiley, ran headlong away from the legacy of Bill de Blasio. All of them are attempting to separate themselves from de Blasio. The two front runners in that race are a former cop who is a Brooklyn borough president and Andrew Yang, and both of them are running on a platform of stronger law enforcement. Why is that happening? What's happening in New York?
Well, I mean, we've seen crime shooting up faster than it's ever happened in a year-over-year period. The streets are a mess. Homelessness is out of control. The city is suffering. People are not that happy with Bill de Blasio. So it makes sense that the candidates are not racing to embrace him.
So what exactly are the long-term secular trends that you've uncovered in looking at New York that have really hollowed it out? Because now, I'm down here in Florida. We're getting expatriates from New York all the time. We're seeing businesses move out of New York City. Andrew Cuomo was forced to recently admit that if he continues to raise taxes, then people are just going to continue to flee the state. What are the trends that we're seeing in New York that have turned it from what was basically a pretty fantastic place even 15 or 20 years ago into a place that it seems is now turning into a place that Kurt Russell wants to escape?
Sure. My argument is that Bill de Blasio, there are mayors in New York City's history who are considered to be really bad, but they inherited a bad situation. Bill de Blasio inherited a good situation. New York was prosperous and safe when he came in. And he's managed to steer the ship into a wall, essentially. Part of the problem is that he was completely owned and, all of his allegiances were to the public sector unions that run New York. He is committed to a ideology of, basically the social justice ideology of the principle that there's massive wealth inequality that needs to be addressed, racial inequity. So he's just gone wholeheartedly along this line. Decarceration, decriminalization, the idea that any kind of disparity in outcome is necessarily caused by, racism, essentially, and white supremacy.
So, Seth, what drove the city to this? Was it just the prosperity that had accompanied the city for a while and people forgot what had happened to New York in the 70s and 80s? And it is kind of astonishing how New York went right back to the same well that got them drunk in the 60s. Because in the 40s and 50s, when New York was this massive, growing, urban place, there was this sense that set in of almost entitlement, and John Lindsay's mayoralty demonstrated that you could blow out the spending and completely wreck the city. And by the end of the 70s, the Bronx was burning. And New York had to sort of take a second look at itself. By the 90s, the crime rates had risen so far that Rudy Giuliani was elected to office. Is New York about to undergo the same sort of thing?
Oh, it seems like it is. Bloomberg was a good mayor, but we can't forget that he didn't really get – he was pro-business, and he was good on public safety, but he did not get a grip on New York's insane spending. In fact, he kind of encouraged it. De Blasio came in and wildly expanded hiring. He expanded the budget, and then he let public safety go to hell, basically. The problem now is that many of these changes are more or less permanent. They're built in. The city no longer has the population it had when Bloomberg was elected. In a sense, the politicians have elected a new people by driving people out, like down to Florida or upstate or, wherever they can go. And so who's left is whoever can tolerate being, you know, having the city be run by leftist ideologues and nonprofit organizations and, you know, essentially a built-in bureaucratic coterie of hardcore leftists.
And the book is The Last Days of New York, a reporter's true tale. The author is Seth Baron. So, Seth, one of the things that I've noticed is this vast and emerging gap between the media coverage of political figures in New York and the sort of sweet treatment that people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez receive and the citywide popularity of these politicians. It seems like AOC is popular in her district, which is an incredibly radical far left district, but her policies are not popular across the broad state of New York. And yet because of the media coverage, people like Chuck Schumer are running in fear of people like AOC.
It's the same problem that we see on the national level, which is that we have a lot of reporters who, you know, are fairly young. They don't necessarily have a great deal of context, and they come to their jobs with the perspective that they are activists and advocates. So you don't see a lot of people calling out AOC, de Blasio, or, you know, any of these other people for the really outlandish stuff they say and do. Politicians in New York City get complete leeway to make the most absurd claims and do the most absurd things. So, yeah, that's another major problem.
So do you think that New York pulls out of the tailspin? I mean, this happened before, obviously. New York was in worse straits even than it is now, as I mentioned, in the late 1970s. And went through a rough 80s, and then in the 90s, there was this kind of shocking recovery that occurred in New York. Do you think that's going to happen again, or is this, as you say, the last days of New York? Are we watching a sort of slow-motion death spiral because people have the option to move out and because partisan polarization has grown so wide?
Well, that's really the key. Can New York revitalize the Central Business District? Can New York reattract 65 million tourists a year? That's hard to say. A lot of it begins with public safety. Are companies going to feel comfortable bringing their employees back in to take the subway when there's people wandering around stabbing other people in the face? Are tourists going to want to come and see a show in Times Square when there's random shootings going on? You know, people have options now. The stock exchange doesn't have to stay in New York if the radicals decide to put in stock transfer taxes. Companies can let their high paid employees work from, you know, Georgia or Texas or Florida or wherever, low tax states that have a higher quality of life. So, it's a good question. Let's put it that way.
Well, the book is The Last Days of New York, a reporter's true tale. Seth, thanks so much for joining the show. That's Seth Baron.
Thank you, Ben.
We'll get to more in just 1 second. First, another 1,000 of you, my extremely wise listeners, have made the switch from your overpriced wireless carriers to Pure Talk over the past couple of months. So what exactly are the rest of you waiting for? Be one of my wise listeners, not the other listeners. If you're with AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, your family could save over $800 a year just by switching to Pure Talk. You get the same great coverage because they use the exact same towers as one of the big carriers. You can even keep your phone and your number, but you will save a fortune. By the way, PureTalk is the top-rated wireless company by Consumer Affairs with the absolute best customer service team based right here in America. Sound great? Well, it gets even better. Right now, you can get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month, which is a heck of a deal because if you go over on that 6 gigs of data, they're not even going to charge you for it. Grab your mobile phone, dial #250, say Ben Shapiro. When you do, you save 50% off your very first month. Dial #250, say keyword Ben Shapiro to get started. PureTalk is simply smarter wireless. Why would you be spending too much on your cell phone bill? Don't do it. Instead, head on over to PureTalk USA, dial #250, say Ben Shapiro, save 50% off your very first month of coverage and hundreds of bucks down the road. That's PureTalk USA. Alrighty, so it is indeed a Friday. That means it's time to jump into some mailbag. If you want your question answered in the mailbag, by the way, you really should subscribe over at dailywire.com because we have lots of great stuff going on. And again, maybe I'll answer your question. Kathy says, you said Congress should be introducing legislation to provide more funding for cops. How would this work? Police forces are locally and state funded, aren't they? How would that work? You create a grant to the states on the basis of policing. You know, this is how the federal government is constantly funding state works. This happens all the time. That is how highways inside states get funded very often. And this is how pork barrel projects come home to various districts. You can do federal funding of state and local projects. It just has to be earmarked for it. CJ says, hey, Ben, big fan of your show. My girlfriend and I are the new Daily Wire subscribers, but have been big fans for a while. When do you think people who voted for Joe Biden will have enough of the rising gas prices and garbage policies that he and the Democrats are pushing out and start speaking out against him? So I think that there are a lot of people who are sort of in the middle and voted for Biden because they weren't in love with Trump's personality. And I think those people will very quietly go and vote for a Republican who isn't Trump. I think that Trump forced a character choice, which is what Biden knew, and it's why Biden kept harping on that. Because if you just looked at the policies, Biden loses. By every available poll, by the way, if you looked at the policies, Biden loses. If you look at the actual character, Biden wins. So I think that you're not going to see a lot of people who repudiate Biden, because people don't like to repudiate decisions they've already made. It's just a basic rule of thumb. It's true in relationships, as it is true in all areas of life. Never ask people or expect people to apologize for decisions they've already made. It's a very rare person who can recognize the mistakes that they've made. But people will vote differently next time around if the policies continue to be bad. Brandon says, hey, Ben, I heard you say on your show recently, you like answering questions involving religion. So I was hoping you could shed some light on the different types of Jewish faiths for us. Christianity has Catholics, Lutherans, LDS, Baptists, etc. Does Judaism have different sects? So Judaism does have sort of different, I would say, strains. I'd say it's less sectarian generally than other religions. In America, there's conservative and reform, and those are they're kind of different sects in the way that Catholics and Lutherans are different sects, because they have wild differences with regard to what they think the role of the Bible is, who wrote the Bible, how important they think the commandments of the Bible are. Inside Orthodox Judaism, there is some sectarianism. You have groups called the Haredim, who sort of range from people who, you can almost tell them by the hats they wear. They range from people who are very into mysticism to people who are really not particularly into mysticism, but take the legal interpretation of the commandments very, very seriously. You have modern Orthodox people who try to reconcile the differences between modern life and modern scientific theories and the Bible, for example. I'm in the modern Orthodox camp. You have folks who are more egalitarian even than that in practice. You have egalitarian Orthodox. You do have a wide variety of strains. And then you have sort of the broader division between Ashkenaz and Sephardi, and that is an ethnic difference. So you see that Moroccan Jews, for example, my wife's family, they're Sephardi. I'm from sort of Eastern Europe in terms of extraction, and so I'm Ashkenazi. And there are some different customs that accrue to that. So there are a lot of different divisions, but I wouldn't say that those divisions are nearly as sort of strained or historically laden as the division between, say, Catholic and Protestant, right? There have never been any wars fought between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. There are no wars that are fought between the Haredim and the modern Orthodox, whereas there were like several centuries of wars between Catholics and Protestants in Europe. Sam says, hey, Ben, I love your show. Do you have any more details on the film with Gina? How can I be a part of it? It is in the works. That's all I can say. No details available at this time. Kenneth says, hey, Ben, I was wondering, with being so etched in fact-based knowledge, do you believe a person has to be religious in nature in order to be moral? I work in law enforcement. I've seen many people turn to religion just to be brought back over and over again. I do not prescribe to any religion, but believe the Bible to be a good moral compass, however, no more than Aesop's fables, which contain good moral stories as well. Okay, so sure, you can have moral people who do moral things, who don't believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. Absolutely, you can do that. As I've said before, the question of religion is not really one of whether you can live a moral life without religion. I think it's quite possible that you can do all the moral things without being a religious believer. The question is, can a society that is not rooted in a religious belief in the objective truth of certain morals survive as a moral society and not collapse into kind of post-constructionist or post-deconstructionist nihilism? And that is a much harder case. It's very hard to say that a society that's based and rooted in a sort of atheistic secularism is likely to continue to promulgate the same moral norms as the Judeo-Christian culture. And history proves that that is generally not the case. Let's see. Hunter says, hey, Ben, I've been listening to your show for around 6 months. I absolutely love it. Thank you for what you do and what you continue to do. One of the most common complaints of Trump was his slow response to COVID. Do you think he did a poor job in handling the virus in its early days and throughout 2020? Or is it another instance of the media blowing something out of proportion? Certainly, I think that the media blew out of proportion the administration's actual work on COVID. Right? Operation Warp Speed was highly successful. The administration got all the states what they needed. All the blue states said this at the time. It was Trump's rhetoric that was the problem, as again was sort of the theme of his administration, was that his rhetoric was constantly providing an obstacle to his actually very good policy over and over. All righty. In just a second, we're going to be talking about President Trump and a spate of stories suggesting he thinks he's going to come back to office in August. I have doubts. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let us talk about the fact that between Father's Day, Flag Day, National Yo-Yo Day, a lot going on in the month of June, but there's something you can check off your checklist today, and it's really important. I'm talking, of course, about life insurance. If somebody relies on your financial support, whether we're talking about a kid or an aging parent or even a business partner, you need life insurance. Policy Genius makes it super simple to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes, which means like you could save $1,300 or more a year on life insurance by using Policy Genius. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius an excellent rating on Trustpilot. Getting started is super simple. First, you head to PolicyGenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need and compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you're ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and the scheduling for free. Policy Genius never sells your information to other companies, and they don't add on the extra fees. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com right now to get started. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and super important to get it right. Already coming up, there are a lot of stories out over the last couple of days suggesting that President Trump truly believes he's going to be reinstalled in office in August. That's not happening. I'll explain why. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie with Exact Data. I'm excited to share how our team can help your business with its customer acquisition goals. Exact Data has been helping businesses of all sizes find new customers for over 20 years. With over 4,000 unique filters, you're sure to find the most targeted emails, postal addresses, and phone numbers fit for your business. Want a list of new homeowners in your area or looking to reach self-employed business owners? Maybe you're looking for people passionate about charitable causes or a list of medical professionals in your area. We can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text INFO to 606 My Leads. Remember, text INFO to 606-695-3237, which spells 606 My Leads, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text INFO to 606 My Leads, and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals. Message and data rates apply.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
America's kids are returning to class, in school and at home. And this year, learning is especially tough for kids who already struggle with poverty, emotional trauma, and other barriers. But Communities in Schools is helping by putting caring adults in schools to connect with kids. And now, we're reaching beyond school walls, tutoring, mentoring, and counseling students, providing resources for at-home learning, doing whatever it takes to make sure all kids have the opportunity to learn and succeed. For more information, visit communitiesinschools.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with a get-out-and-grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher-cut New York strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York strip burgers free with your order. Visit omahasteaks.com and type sizzle in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sizzle.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, big story in the mainstream media today is that apparently the story from originally reported by Maggie Haberman from the New York Times and now also reported by Charles Cook over at National Review that Donald Trump apparently is under the misimpression that he will be reinstated to the presidency by August. He says Charles Cook over at National Review, who is a reliable source, that he can attest from speaking to an array of different sources that Trump does indeed believe quite genuinely that he, along with former Senators David Perdue and Martha McSally, will be reinstated to office in August. Okay, so just a quick note. No. That is the note. The note is that is not going to happen. There is literally no provision in the United States Constitution or in law in which people are reinstated to office, even if by some weird stretch of the imagination, there were a case that were brought to the Supreme Court and they said that the election were fraudulent, he would not be reinstated to office instead. Presumably there would be a new election held or something like that. But there's not even a provision for that. First of all, there is no, there are literally no outstanding court cases at this point. So there's no mechanism for this to happen. When people are out of office, there's no mechanism to replace them back in office. So I'm not sure where this is coming from. Beyond that, it's weird that nobody will go on the record, as always, with this sort of stuff. Like, you would assume that you should go on the record with this sort of stuff. And what does the story mean? I mean, in the long run, nothing, except that you should not believe that, and neither should he if he does, right? No one should believe that Trump is going to be restored to office in August. There's literally no evidence for it. It's a very silly idea. End of story. Just felt I would throw that out there because I know this is eating up all the media attention today. And then there's this take, which is going to be that, oh, well, if Trump says it, then a bunch of Republicans will jump on board. I have serious doubts that there are going to be many Republicans who jump on board with the idea that if Trump is not restored to office in August, that this will change, that people will go nuts. Like, no. The QAnon folks tried this in January. It didn't work. And then they suggested that he would be reinstated in March, and that didn't work. And so now they're like a bad prophet. They just keep coming out every 6 months and being like, well, the prophecy is still going to come true. It's just going to happen like next week. And meanwhile, over at Princeton, our institutions of higher education, which have been completely hijacked by the woke brigade, Princeton is now no longer going to require students to learn either Latin or Greek. According to campus reforms at Ben Zeisloff, curriculum changes in the university's classics department added a track in race and identity. The faculty said this would increase flexibility for concentrators, including eliminating the requirement for classics majors to take Greek or Latin, which is weird, because if you are a classics major, presumably you are reading things like Aristotle and Plato, which are written in Greek, or you are reading Cicero, which is written in Latin. Like, I don't know. Weird take, Princeton. According to the faculty in the May 2021 issue of Princeton Alumni Weekly, the classics track, which required an intermediate proficiency in Greek or Latin to enter the concentration, was eliminated, as was the requirement for students to take Greek or Latin. Students are still encouraged to take either language if it is relevant to their interests in the department. The faculty says this broadens the ability for people to major in the classics department in the first place. Yeah, there's another way to term that, which is you've just gotten rid of all the standards to enter the classics department. The Weekly explained that Professor Francis Lee, associate chair of Princeton's politics department, said, quote, the idea for the new undergraduate track in race and identity was part of a larger initiative on campus launched by Professor Eisgruber to address systemic racism at Princeton. So you no longer have to learn Greek or Latin to study the classics or be in the classics department. Now you can be in the classics and study race or identity. Just, you know, get rid of the actual definition of classics and you can study Franz Fanon or something. Lee said the politics of race underlies so much of U.S. political history, adding a wide array of intellectual questions as well as subjects you need to understand if you want to understand politics at its core. Now, according to campus reform, Princeton recently adopted a diverse supplier-based plan that seeks to broaden the pool of supplier expertise, capabilities, and perspectives, and include more businesses that are at least 51% owned and operated by people of color, women, veterans, or members of the LGBTQ+ community. I do not know how this stuff does not violate the Civil Rights Act. I don't understand how it doesn't violate the Equal Protection Clause. I seriously don't get it. Like, the lawsuits should be brought. There should be lawsuits on this stuff. Josh Billings, the director of undergrad studies and a professor of classics, told The Weekly the changes to the classics department had been discussed prior to Eisgruber's allegations the Ivy League institution was rife with systemic racism. Billings said, we think having new perspectives in the field will make the field better. I have some doubts about that. Having people who come in who might not have studied classics in high school and might not have had previous exposure to Greek and Latin, we think having those students in the department will make it a more vibrant intellectual community. One alumna said, no, this is wrong. They wrote a letter saying, I had no knowledge of Greek or Latin when I matriculated. Despite that deficiency, I was taking 300-level courses in Greek and Latin by the end of my sophomore year. Opening up this track does nothing for the classics department, but harms its past, current, and future majors who have taken the trouble to learn either Latin or Greek, and who will be subject to ridicule in graduate and job interviewers by questioners wondering about their proficiency in Greek and Latin. What's next? Eliminating the German requirements in the German department? Offering an alternative German and translation track? This is a good point. But education, it's no longer about education. It's about indoctrination into the woke cult. That is truly what higher education has become about. It's about learning to speak what I call the vocabulary. I talk about this in my new book, The Authoritarian Moment, which is out in July. You can pre-order it right now. I talk about the hijacking of higher education and the attempt to turn it from an institution where you learn either civic values or job skills into an institution where you learn that America sucks, and that if you say America sucks in the proper verbiage, you can get a job with other woke institutions. That's what universities exist to do at this point. Alrighty, we have reached the end of this week, but we will be back here next week with much, much more. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Facebook suspending former President Trump for 2 years, stemming from the January riot at the Capitol. White House correspondent Greg Clugston has the details.
The social media company's suspension follows its finding that Trump stoked violence in the nation's capital on January 6th. In a statement, Facebook said it will reassess the suspension in 2 years and whether the risk to public safety has receded. Mr. Trump denounced the decision as an insult. He said Facebook shouldn't be allowed to get away with this censoring and silencing. The company also plans to end a policy that automatically exempted politicians from rules that banned hate speech and abuse. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Also at townhall.com, Democrats are facing a lot of pushback over their plans for election reform. As Bob Agnew reports, some of it is coming from within their own party.
It's not only Republicans who oppose S-1, the broad Senate bill that would federalize elections. West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin already is on record against the bill as being too broad. Majority Leader Schumer must now work toward a compromise in his own party if he's to fulfill his promise of action on S-1 by the end of the month. Democrats insist their rewrite of election laws is needed to safeguard voting rights. Republicans say the bill is designed to favor Democrats in all future elections. Bob Agnew reporting.
Mexico says it will use 1 million U.S. doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to give people their shots. Officials say the vaccinations along Mexico's northern border with the United States all part of an effort to fully reopen border crossings, which are currently restricted to so-called essential travel. Mexican officials say they will have to obtain yet another 2 million doses of the one-shot vaccine. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Liberty is God's idea, and if the church doesn't proclaim it, we lose it.
Can America survive without faith in God? In the groundbreaking documentary, America, America, God Shed His Grace on Thee, producer-actor Nick Searcy explores the role of faith in America, from our founding fathers to today's most notable conservative voices.
We've got to reclaim three key institutions, the media, public schools, pop culture.
It's good versus evil, and in a greater sense, our battle is not political, it's spiritual.
Our legacy of faith became America's legacy of freedom. By returning to our religious roots, we can restore the soul of our nation. Make America, America your next family movie night.
This country is worth fighting for. Liberty is worth fighting for.
Don't miss America, America, God Shed His Grace on Thee. Available now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
A woman in California reunited with a wallet she lost 46 years ago.
The employee working on remodeling Southern California's historic Majestic Ventura Theater discovered it inside a crawl space among old candy bar wrappers, ticket stubs, and soda cans. The worker was able to locate the owner on social media using clues in the wallet, including a California driver's license that expired in 1976. And picking up her wallet, the owner says it was like opening a time capsule. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Authorities say a flight from Los Angeles to Nashville diverted to New Mexico Friday when a passenger tried to break into the cockpit. Delta Airlines says the unruly passenger on Flight 386, but he made an attempt, but other passengers and crew members were able to tackle him. Plane was diverted to Albuquerque. The man was arrested. No one was hurt. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A county in North Carolina is banning Coca-Cola machines over the company's criticism of Georgia's new voting law. Details from correspondent Bernie Bennett.
In a letter written to Coca-Cola CEO James Quincy, Surrey County Commissioner Ed Harris called Quincy's critical comments regarding the Georgia election bill corporate political commentary favoring the Democratic Party. After the bill was passed by the state legislature, several Georgia-based companies like Coca-Cola publicly decried the measure, saying it amounts to voter suppression and unfairly restricts access to the polls for minority voters specifically. Several prominent Republicans have called on conservatives to boycott Coca-Cola and other companies who have criticized GOP-led voting measures. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Wall Street Friday, the Dow gained 179 points, equally good day on the tech side. NASDAQ up some 200. S&P 500 added 37 for the day. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Greetings, North State. Just a reminder here to be sure and tune in to Common Ground Radio Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. You know, we have much more in common with one another than we normally recognize, but fail to see this thanks to our polarized media that deliberately divides us and demonizes the other side. Common Ground Radio is your progressive call-in talk show for the North State, right here on Radio KCNR, where we seek bipartisan agreement on many issues affecting all of us using respectful, fact-based dialogue and starting for change from the progressive side of the street.
Hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Why haven't you gotten a VPN yet? Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Alrighty, so a couple of nights ago, there was a big debate in New York City between all of the mayoral candidates. And there are a few aspects of this that are amusing. Aspect number one, 7 of the 8 candidates said they actively did not want Bill de Blasio's endorsement for the mayoralty, which is a hell of a referendum on the guy who's the sitting mayor of New York City. That's how unpopular Bill de Blasio is inside his own city. He has aspirations to run for governor or senator. Dude couldn't win an election for dog catcher today in New York City because nobody likes him. And the reason is because the ideas of leftism have run headlong into the brick wall of reality in New York City. And so while the media continue to focus in on the inspirational wild left figures of New York, the people like Jamal Bowman and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bill de Blasio, the reality says something different. What the reality suggests is that when it comes to actual policy, New Yorkers are beginning to turn more toward the Rudy Giuliani sort of left-leaning social policy and right-leaning crime policy that characterized New York City throughout the Giuliani and Bloomberg administrations. Why? Well, because it worked in New York. You know, it doesn't work in New York. Anything that the Democrats have been doing there for the last 10 years. Okay, what they've been doing there for the last decade has wrecked the city, particularly in the last 5. And everybody knows this. So the media continue to trot around following around AOC. I just want to point out the mentality of the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez left. It is pretty astonishing. So there are a couple of things that are worth noting about the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez left mentality. Number one, they truly believe that your money is their money and that they have no obligation to do moral things with their money. This was an undercover story in the major media, but Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she recently posted photographs of her grandmother's squalid living conditions in Puerto Rico and blamed President Trump for the situation. She put on Twitter, "Just over a week ago, my grandmother fell ill. I went to Puerto Rico to see her, my first time in a year because of COVID. This is her home. Hurricane Maria relief hasn't arrived. Trump blocked relief dollars for Puerto Rico. People are being forced to flee ancestral homes and developers are taking them." And then she tweeted out a picture of her grandmother's roof, which appears to be collapsing in places. Later, she amended the tone of her comments. She wrote, 45 minutes later, her grandmother was doing okay. Now, the reason that she said that is because everybody pointed out that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has an annual salary of $174,000. She has no children. She doesn't have tremendously high expenses, except for the Tesla that she recently leased. And so everybody online was like, you know, Alexandria, before you blame Trump for your grandmother's squalid living conditions, your words, you might want to, like, check your wallet. Like, check your pocketbook. See, here's one of the things about conservatism. Conservatism suggests that there are a series of overlapping circles in terms of responsibility. Okay, when it comes to people who are in your immediate family and people who you are close to, You have chief responsibility in taking care of them. And if that doesn't work, you go to your local community. And then if that doesn't work, you go to the larger community, to maybe an actual local government. And you go to your state community. And then maybe at the very end, you get to the federal government. But the first line of defense against difficulty in life is your immediate circle. And so if my grandmother is having financial trouble, then I step in if I have the ability to do so. And this is what most people do. The fact that Alexandra, that it never even occurred to her, my grandmother's roof is falling apart. Maybe I should do something about that instead of leasing that Tesla. Maybe I should instead lease, you know, an electric Honda or something for like one-third the cost and send the extra over to grandma. The fact that apparently never occurred to her is just indicative of a particular mindset, which is it is never my responsibility to do anything. It is everybody else's responsibility to do everything. It's the government's responsibility to do everything. I mean, it's kind of an incredible indicator of exactly where this mentality lies. And it's true for national politics, too. If there's a problem in my immediate community, the problem must lie with a broader societal issue as opposed to what can I do about it today? And what can people do? Well, what can people with agency do to fix their own problems? Okay, so that is point number one. Point number two is Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez's view of crime. So yesterday, she did this presser, and it was kind of amazing. She was standing directly next to Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, and she was calling for more funding for mental health. Which, fine, I'm on board with that. I think one of the great tragedies of public policy of the last 60 years is the attempt to federalize all mental health and institutionalization issues. It started under the JFK administration and moved forward with states shirking their duties, and this has led to a tremendous rise in homeless problem over the course of the last few decades. Okay, but Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez is talking about crime, and here she is explaining that the real problem, the real reason why we have too much crime is because we are building too many jails. Let's check out how this works.
If we want to reduce violent crime, if we want to reduce the number of people in our jails, the answer is to stop building more of them. The answer is to make sure that we actually build more hospitals, we pay organizers, we get people mental health care and overall health care, employment, etc. It's to support communities, not throw them away.
Okay, look at the body language on Chuck Schumer there. Chuck Schumer is like, I want to crawl in a hole and die. He's sitting right next to her. She says this. Because here's the thing. She's in a city where crime is skyrocketing, and her solution is build fewer jails. As someone on Twitter pointed out, this is akin to saying, if you want fewer sick people, build fewer hospitals. You build the jails to hold the criminals. You don't build the jails, and then there's an upsurge in demand for criminality. That's not how any of that works. Okay, but this sort of perverse thinking, that my problems are everybody else's problems, and my immediate family problems don't fall on me, they fall on the government more broadly. And when it comes to criminality, that is a broader societal problem where the government is not supposed to step in and solve it. Instead, it's a broader societal problem that we just blame on everything else. That sort of mentality has crippled New York and continues to cripple New York. And you can see it play out in the New York mayoral race, where if you look at the polls right now, the two people at the top of the heap in terms of the candidates are the two most conservative Democrats in the race. We'll get to that in just one second. First, big tech has been clamping down on free speech. And we're talking about Facebook or Twitter. They do restrict what you can say and whom you can follow. But even if you keep your accounts, you don't have to give big tech websites access to your data. You don't have to let them monetize you. That's why I choose to protect my online activity by using ExpressVPN. If you've ever wondered how free-to-access social media companies make their money, the answer is they track your searches, your video history, and everything you click on, and they sell all of that valuable data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from eavesdroppers on your network. And the ExpressVPN app couldn't be easier to use. You just tap one button on your phone or computer, and now you are protected. So, take back your online privacy with the VPN I trust at expressvpn.com/Ben. By visiting my link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free on a one-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Ben, ExpressVPN.com/Ben to protect your data today. ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Okay, so all this sort of idiocy has had serious consequences for New York. According to Joel Siegel, who's the managing editor of Spectrum News DC, NYPD now says the number of shootings in May of 2021 jumped 73% compared to May 2020. 173 shootings in May versus 100 last May. And that was on top of a 63% increase in May 2020 versus May of 2019. There were 61 shootings in New York in May 2019. Today, May 2021, 173 shootings in New York. That is the result of an administration that has decided that they are not going to police crime. They're going to release criminals back onto the street. It's an administration that has decided not to enforce the law, that is going to allow Black Lives Matter rioters to run roughshod through the center of New York City. This has downstream effect in terms of criminals believing they can get away with anything. I'm fully convinced, by the way, that the uptick in hate crimes that you have seen against Jews is fully connected with law enforcement's inability or unwillingness in areas around the country to actually police. When policing goes away, crime spikes. And that is true with regard to all types of crime, including hate crimes. Okay, that is a reversal of a trend, by the way. It is incredible how there's been this secular trend, meaning a widespread trend, for the last two decades in terms of lowering crime rates. Basically, from 1994 all the way until 2014, crime rates dropped precipitously like a stone. The reason for that is because people in major cities started taking policing seriously. Rudy Giuliani was elected in New York. Richard Reardon was elected in Los Angeles. You started to see all sorts of conservative policies attempted with regard to crime. And shockingly, crime dropped. Right? This was the days when Joe Biden used to talk about super predators and used to back crime bills. And then, thanks to Barack Obama's administration and the rise of wild left crazy people like Bill de Blasio and Eric Garcetti and in major cities around the country, crime rates started to rise again because policy is indeed connected with human behavior. And you're starting to realize this, the people of New York. Because as it turns out, what the polling data shows in New York right now is that the people at the top of the heap in polling in New York are the most conservative candidates. There is no progressive near the top of the heap. According to USA Today, in what could be the most consequential mayoral elections in the city's recent history, a host of Democratic candidates in a tightly contested race are vying to become the Big Apple's next mayor. Eight major Democrats are making their final bids to New York City voters in a campaign that has touched on a variety of challenges facing the city, led to a diverse list of candidates, and featured plenty of Zoom calls. The leading contenders are Andrew Yang, who is still seizing on the energy around his 2020 Democratic presidential run. I know Andrew Yang because he was generous enough to do an interview with the show. I think he's a really good guy. I disagree with him with regard to universal basic income, which has been part of his pitch. But his main pitch has been, I am not an unreasonable, crazy person. His main pitch has been, we need to get corporations back into the city. We need to get jobs back into the city. And we need to give the police the resources necessary in order to shut down crime. Eric Adams, a former NYPD officer, zeroed in on public safety. That's been his main pitch. And then trailing the pack is Catherine Garcia, who's received a bunch of big name endorsements from the New York Daily News, but continues to trail in the polling because she is just not far right enough. The Republicans in the race are not competitive because, one, they're Republican, and two, because they're not the sort of Rudy Giuliani, quote-unquote, moderate Republican that did well in New York for so long. But Yang and Adams look a lot more like Ed Koch, who is the sort of gruff and avuncular mayor of New York starting in the late 1970s, who converted from being a radical left Bella Abzug progressive into being the sort of conservative-style Democrat who governed New York City for a while. These are those type of Democrats. This is leftism being rejected in places like New York City because leftism has failed in places like New York City. So it was fascinating. The other night they had this big debate, and the people who came off the worst by far were the people who were the most wildly to the left. And the people who came off the best were people like Adams and people like Andrew Yang. Now, the reason this makes a difference is because what happens in New York can happen nationally. Now, people like to say that the Democrats want to take California national. That's true. They also want to take New York national. But they don't want to take the style of Democratic governance of Michael Bloomberg national. Bloomberg ran for the presidency on the Democratic side of the aisle and received basically no support. Joe Biden seemed to want to govern that way at times during his campaign, but then he's run to the radical left. He looks a lot more like AOC or like Jamal Bowman or like Bernie Sanders than he does like the Joe Biden that people thought they were going to get when they elected him. So what happens in New York is a good indicator as to what is going to happen nationally, meaning there will be a backlash. There will be a conservative backlash. If it's happening in New York, it can happen anywhere. So Andrew Yang has been facing a lot of this stuff down. So yesterday, for example, he was walking around at a Park Slope event, and he was shouted down by people screaming to defund the cops.
No more cops! No more cops! No more cops!
And you can see people trailing him, saying, hedge fund mayor. Okay, this is why Yang is going to do well in New York. But again, he has no history in elected politics. And if he doesn't win the mayoral race, he's going to come in a close second. They have ranked choice voting in New York, which means that I'm kind of a fan of ranked choice voting, to be honest with you. The way ranked choice voting works is that if you vote for one of the lower down candidates, number one on your ballot, and then you vote for Yang too, if the lower down candidate doesn't finish in the top couple of candidates, that person's votes are eliminated. And then your second choice becomes your first choice. And they just keep doing this until somebody wins. Okay, so Yang right now is running in the top two with Eric Adams. Eric Adams, of course, is a former cop. And so Yang and Adams went at each other, but the more telling attacks were the ones that were put out against Adams and Yang for being too conservative, which is why they're winning. It's why they're doing well in New York. This can't be overstated. New Yorkers are seeing the results of the policies they chose, and they are not liking the results of the policies they chose, and they are reacting to the policies they chose by moving in a different direction. Democrats had better be wary. They'd better be wary. New York is a one-party city, and they are still moving to the right wing of the Democratic Party. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, you know, before Policy Genius, it was very difficult to find affordable life insurance. And this month, you know, there's a lot going on. You're going to be busy. So a lot of people will try to find their life insurance. They know they need it, but they'll try to find it word of mouth while they're busy. Bad way to do it. Instead, head on over to Policy Genius. If somebody relies on your financial support, whether it's a child or an aging parent or even a business partner, you need life insurance. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. That could be like $1,300 or more per year. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius an excellent rating on Trustpilot. Getting started is super simple. First, head on over to PolicyGenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need and compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you're ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and the scheduling for free. Policy Genius never sells your information to the other companies. Policy Genius does not add on the extra fees. Instead, head on over to PolicyGenius.com to get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to play some of the clips from the New York City mayoral debate. As you will see, it turns out the left is losing steam even in New York City. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
When the forgotten poor are in need of healing, they wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, a floating hospital staffed by volunteers, heroes of mercy who donate their time to save lives.
Every human has the right to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see smiles that you get when life has been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Since COVID, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck, or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with a get-out-and-grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher-cut New York strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York strip burgers free with your order. Visit omahasteaks.com and type sizzle in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sizzle.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So if New York is a test case for how leftism is going, it ain't going well. And the New York City mayoral debate shows why. So Scott Stringer, who is one of these also ran candidates, he was expected to be more of a competitor in this particular race. He was the New York City comptroller, but then he was hit with a sort of sexual harassment accusation by a former political ally. He denies the allegations, but he's been trailing in the polls. He went after Andrew Yang and he said, you know, it seems to me like you're a Republican. That is not going to work. I mean, really, this is not a, and Yang just kind of was like, okay, it's kind of amazing.
As your consultants have told you time and time again, they admit your casinos in Governor's Island, you're focusing on TikTok houses in the midst of a housing crisis. And what I'm saying to you today is there is a budget crisis, but it's a budget crisis that with $6 billion in federal stimulus money, more money for the foundation aid coming from Albany, the next mayor
Thank
must
you,
have the experience on day one who could manage closing the out-year
Thank
$4
you,
billion budget gaps.
Okay, well, this is going nowhere for Stringer because he attacks Yang as a TikTok influencer guy. Okay, first of all, in New York, everybody's a TikTok influencer. But second of all, attacking Yang as a Republican, it ain't going to do much. Okay, meanwhile, Maya Wiley, who is the most wild-eyed of the left candidates on the board, right? She's a longtime MSNBC contributor. She worked with the NAACP Legal Defense Fund as well as the ACLU and served as counsel to Bill de Blasio, which, again, that's a resume that is not going to resonate in a time when Bill de Blasio is, like, the most hated person in New York. She went after Eric Adams. So Eric Adams is a former police officer, and Eric Adams has talked about the fact that he wants to carry a gun, and he also wants to make sure that off-duty police officers can carry a gun in order to crack down on crime. This goes very poorly for Maya Wiley.
Mr. Adams has said he's carried a gun to church. He's asked off-duty officers to carry guns to church. He said he will carry a gun as mayor and maybe even ditch his detail. Eric, isn't this the wrong message to send our kids? We're telling not to pick up the guns.
Okay, and the way he responded was, I've used my gun in order to stop crime off-duty. And he mentioned people who had been victimized by crime in the city, which is the reason why he's in really good shape, Eric Adams. Again, he's a retired former captain in NYPD, and he is running on a platform that includes stepped-up policing, not stepped-down policing. The whole defund the police movement, the BLM, the police are the bad guys, all cops are bastards routine, that is not playing in New York City. You guys, you're reaping the whirlwind. And you're not feeling it because these people are registered Democrats. But when you elect Ed Koch Democrats, as opposed to Bill de Blasio Democrats, that indicates that a sea change is happening in places like New York City. Meanwhile, Yang himself slammed Eric Adams. The battle in New York is also sort of internal. So Yang is going after Eric Adams. He says that Eric Adams has a corruption problem, which is kind of true. He is under investigation. I think three separate investigations, actually, for corruption issues.
Eric, we all know that you've been investigated for corruption everywhere you've gone. City, state, even Barack Obama's Department of Justice investigated you. You've achieved the rare trifecta of corruption investigations. Is that really what we want in the next mayor? You think you're going to enter City Hall and it's going to be different? We all know it's going to be exactly the same. That's why so many people on the stage don't want you to be mayor.
Okay, so here's the bottom line issue. You know, putting aside all of the sort of fireworks that happened on the stage the other night, right now, Americans are going to have a choice. Do they want the Bill de Blasioization of America? Or do they want the Ron DeSantisization of America? Do they want to make California more like New York or make California more like Florida or make America more like Florida? Right. The idea of making America more like New York is trying to be more like Florida now. New York is picking up. Why? Because people are leaving New York for Florida. The numbers are astonishing. There are a huge number of people who are snowbirds who are now taking their part-time residency in New York and they're just moving it right down to Florida. You're seeing an influx of people from the Northeast. And that is because of the governing style in New York. If they hope to keep people, they're going to have to stop raising taxes. They're going to have to start backing cops. They're going to have to start backing private property rights again. They're going to have to start appealing to the business sensibilities of hedge funds that are in the city but can easily move. I know several people who are working at hedge funds who have moved their entire businesses down to Florida. I was meeting with the mayor of Miami yesterday. He was talking about the huge number of businesses that have been moving from New York to Miami, specifically because Miami is a friendly business climate. Even New Yorkers are beginning to recognize this, and this bodes really, really poorly for Democrats going forward. It's not going to bode well for them, especially because, again, Joe Biden is pursuing the New Yorkification of America, not the Floridization of America. Speaking of which, look at the way that the Biden administration is approaching economics. So yesterday, Jen Psaki, again, making the case we need to radically raise corporate tax rates.
He believes that we should continue to look at raising the corporate rate. That is a way to pay for a range of ideas. He's got a lot of ideas out there, a lot of bold proposals, including that aren't a part of this infrastructure negotiation. And he continues to believe that corporations can pay more. Unless you think corporations shouldn't pay any tax at all, and we'll leave that to others to speak to, then there should be a way to find a path to agreement.
Okay, well, I don't believe the corporations should pay any tax at all. All that money gets passed on to employees or in prices. That's all double tax money. All of it. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to get to the newest monthly jobs report and how the Biden economic plan is doing. The answer, not well. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Reading and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco. 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident? And find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Moment in history.
by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Aaron Bell, nicknamed Billy Goat Bell, became the first Superior Court judge in Shasta County in 1880 and served until 1891. It was he who gave the order to move the county seat from Shasta to Redding. The first high school in Shasta County was established in Judge Aaron Bell's nine-room house at the corner of West and Placer Streets in Redding in 1899. In 1902, a new high school was completed facing Placer Street. Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Biden's economic plans are a fail. So there's data that came out yesterday, and it showed that hourly compensation is soaring. And the reason that it's soaring is because no one is going back to work. It is almost impossible to get people to go back to their jobs. Okay, when hourly compensation soars, you know what happens to prices? Prices go up as well. And when prices go up, your savings are worth less. And when your savings are worth less, this makes you poorer. Okay, so for the people who get those higher compensation jobs, not terrible. For everybody who has savings, not great. And for people who are not getting a raise, also not great. All of this is because in the short term, the Biden administration is blowing money into the economy. In the long term, what's going to happen is economic stagnation, as I talked about yesterday. It's not just that you're going to get inflation, which is an ill. But even if the inflation levels off, you're going to get economic stagnation. And Biden is admitting as much. He's admitting that we're going to have like 1.8% growth for the next 10 years. That sucks. Those numbers are bad. And the reason for that is because when you suck money out of the system with a vacuum and then you blow it back into the system via a bunch of redistributionist programs that get eaten up by the bureaucracy, you're removing the productivity from the economy. It is the reason you have not seen job growth recover at the pace that you would like to see. There's also a reason why Joe Biden is calling Lawrence Summers, the former Secretary of the Treasury, under Bill Clinton. According to the Washington Post, President Biden recently called former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, a Democrat who's been openly critical of his economic agenda, to acknowledge Summers' concerns and ask him to explain his objections, according to three people with knowledge of the private exchange. Biden made the call as the White House is weighing critical decisions on the economy, including how much and whether to trim a far-reaching infrastructure plan in response to Republican demand. The conversation also unfolded against a backdrop of warnings from Summers and others that Biden's spending plans present a risk of inflation and an overheating economy. The White House has downplayed the extent of the threat posed by inflation, arguing it will be transitory and manageable. But in recent months, Summers has engaged in increasingly bitter disagreements with White House aides. Summers has been warning that Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus package is way too big and will overheat the economy, spurring inflation that could prove hard for the Federal Reserve to control. White House officials keep dismissing this. They're frustrated that he keeps talking about it in the first place. Apparently, the call occurred late last month, but that doesn't mean that Biden is taking his foot off the gas. Of course not. Keep on keeping on. This is pop star. Never stop, never spending. Okay, so Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, she came out yesterday. She said, we're not going to negotiate forever on infrastructure. We're just going to ram forward our program right here.
The president really does believe very strongly that the current tax structure is skewed, and he wants to rebalance it in favor of the middle class, the working class, and to close loopholes that allow corporations to offshore and to get away in many cases with not paying any income taxes, and that's not fair either. So there are other ways of skinning the cat, and that's part of this negotiation. But ultimately, we cannot just sit and negotiate forever. We have to get to an end.
Okay, what if your economic policies suck? Because the jobless numbers just came in. Here are the jobless numbers in May. The United States added 559,000 jobs in May. Now, that would be good, except we missed by 750,000 jobs last month. And we missed by 100,000 jobs the month before. The expectations going into this economic report, 671,000 jobs. So they missed by, again, 100,000 jobs. Again, 100,000 jobs. These are not good economic numbers. These are not the numbers that Joe Biden needs. And they're not the numbers America needs coming out of an artificially induced economic coma. The fact that they are trying to blow money into the economy and that it is not working is demonstrative of the reality, which is that when you threaten business, when you tell them you're going to raise the corporate tax rates, when you talk about making that retroactive, which frankly, I don't even know how that's constitutional, retroactive taxation. They're talking about making the corporate tax increase retroactive so that you can't escape it. because they know that if they make it proactive, there will be a stock market hit immediately. But if you make it proactive that you're about to raise the corporate tax rate and that it doesn't have retroactive effects, then people are going to start shifting their money out of corporate stocks, for example, because they know the corporations are going to get hit. If you make it retroactive, then you say, okay, well, it's already priced in. But the fact that the Biden administration keeps on missing is fairly incredible because it's so hard. I mean, it's the broad side of the barn here, guys. All you have to do is get out of the damned way. But you can't get out of the damned way because your policy prescriptions are not in line with reality, just like AOC's policy prescriptions in New York are not in line with reality. And so New Yorkers are beginning to turn towards something that doesn't look like AOC. They're moving away from Bill de Blasio. Americans are going to look at the Biden economic agenda, the Biden crime agenda, the Biden racial agenda, the Biden foreign policy agenda. They're going to start moving away from it. Now, I'm fairly confident. I mean, I've said this before. If Republicans don't win back the House in 2022, given what is on their side, honestly, every member of the Republican House should lose their job if the Republicans cannot win back the House in 2022. These are bad numbers, guys. I'm sorry, but 559,000 jobs in May with 650,000 jobs expected. Those are bad. This is three straight months of missing on jobs. Okay, again, what we are seeing also, average hourly earnings continue to surge 2%. The reason for that, because people aren't reentering the workforce. There's high demand for labor and low supply of labor, so the prices are rising. This could lead to increased price inflation at a time of economic stagnation. Or it could just be economic stagnation for a long time. Either way, ain't nothing good happening because of the Biden economic agenda. By the way, quick note on this economic report, the labor force participation rate went down this month. Down. Okay, it should be precisely the opposite, right? The economy is getting back into full swing. You should be going back to work. But when you pay people to stay home, they don't go back to work. People have a bunch of money that the government stuffed in their pockets. They ain't going back to work. They're trying to spend the money, but there ain't the supply to keep up with the demand. That's how you get inflation. More dollars chasing fewer goods. But in the long run, is that price inflation going to last? Well, it depends. Are people going to continue to take out debt and blow it into the economy? Probably not when the demand ain't there. You're just going to end up with prolonged stagnation. Well done once again for the Team Biden, for Team Biden. Just amazing stuff. No matter how many times their economic theories prove fraudulent and complete failures, no matter how many times they suck money out of the American economy and then blow it back in the wrong places, we're still going to pretend like they know what they're doing. It's fairly incredible that the geniuses who sit at the top of government, the people who can't tie their own shoelaces or properly eat soup, these people are going to run the economy better than you know how to run your own business. Alrighty, coming up, a stunning new Vanity Fair investigation. It really is amazing. Into the origins of COVID-19 and more importantly, the cover-up of the origins of COVID-19. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with a get-out-and-grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher-cut New York Strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York Strip burgers free with your order. Visit omahasteaks.com and type sizzle in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sizzle.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Poor Sam was a mess. Always itching, licking. His paws were soaking wet. He had bald spots on his back.
DINOVITE.com.
2 weeks after he started Dynavite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Doctors Without Borders teams confront hard facts in conflict and crisis zones. When others look away, we step in to act. Because measles still kills more than 100,000 children every year, we're there to vaccinate more than 1 million. Because some countries have only one or two mental health professionals, we provided over 400,000 mental health consultations last year. The fact is, your support makes our life-saving work possible. Picture the impact we can have together. DoctorsWithoutBorders.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So credit where credit is due. There's an amazing piece in Vanity Fair today about the origins of COVID-19 and, more importantly, why an investigation into those origins was covered up by people at the highest levels of power in the United States. Fascinating new article by Catherine Eben in Vanity Fair titled "The Lab Leak Theory: Inside the Fight to Uncover COVID-19's Origins." Throughout 2020, the notion that the novel coronavirus leaked from a lab was off limits. Those who dared to push for transparency say toxic politics and hidden agendas kept us in the dark. Yeah, no bleep. Some of us I've been saying this for quite a while. I mean, Tom Cotton got beat around by the media. I mean, they were just beaten, cudgeling him around the ears. How dare he point out that this thing probably leaked from a lab? It's just terrible. And it's amazing how they continue to downplay the lab leak theory, by the way. I mean, Anthony Fauci is like the worst on this. He's just terrible at this. So Anthony Fauci yesterday, he was asked about how he even gets to the bottom of the lab leak theory. And he was like, well, the key is, you got to be really nice to China. If you're really nice to China, I think that'll really... Don't be accusatory. Be nice to them. Here's Anthony Fauci saying things that make no sense, as per his usual arrangement.
Obviously, you want openness and cooperation. One of the ways you can get it is don't be accusatory. Try to get both a forensic, a scientific, and an investigational approach. I think the accusatory part about it is only going to get them to pull back even more. We've got to do it in a combination of diplomacy, scientific, forensic investigation, and do it in a way that the people of good faith, not who want to do blame.
I love how he's like, we don't want people who want to do blame around here. We can't have people who want to do blame. That would be terrible. They might blame me. You know where that's going, right? I mean, the people who have been most accusatory are the ones who have been most accurate so far. Dr. Fauci. And then, watch, like, Fauci's like, trust people like me. But then, he's asked about the lab leak theory, and he's like, what if I just completely mischaracterize the lab leak theory entirely so I can dismiss it? Here he was on CNN yesterday. He's just, man, this guy needed to be fired months ago.
I don't remember what's in that redacted, but the idea, I think, is quite far-fetched that the Chinese deliberately engineered something so that they could kill themselves as well as other people. I think that's a bit far out, John.
Okay, no one was making the argument, as far as I'm aware, that China militarized the virus just to release it on an unsuspecting world. It's called a leak, lab leak theory. It leaked from a lab. Okay, but this is the one you should trust. I mean, Captain Science over here. Meanwhile, the NIH director was doing the same thing yesterday, downplaying the investigation. It's not important. Why do we even need to know how this thing originated? We have to have a full-scale congressional investigation into why 300 droogs invaded the Capitol building and then were immediately removed. 400 people were arrested, and the process of government went on. We need to have a full-scale investigation. But the release of a virus that's killed 3 million people worldwide, including 600,000 Americans, why do we need to know where that came from, says the head of the NIH.
I agree we need to get to the bottom of this, but gosh, you and I just spent a whole bunch of minutes here talking about some issue that we need to get an answer to, and meanwhile people are still dying from COVID-19, and we didn't even talk about the ways to get to an end of this with vaccines. So please, could we have a bit more of the focus on how we're going to save lives while we're talking about how this all started?
Amazing. Amazing. Okay, so what actually happened here in terms of silencing the COVID lab leak theory? According to this Vanity Fair piece, Gillis Deminoff is a data scientist with the Bank of New Zealand in Auckland. He was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome 10 years ago, and believes it gives him a professional advantage. I'm very good at finding patterns in data when other people see nothing, he says. Early last spring, as cities worldwide were shutting down to halt the spread of COVID-19, Deminoff, 52, began reading up on the origins of SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes the disease. The prevailing theory was that it had jumped from bats to some other species before making the leap to humans at a market in China, where some of the earliest cases appeared in late 2019. The Huanan wholesale market in the city of Wuhan is a complex of markets selling seafood, meat, fruit, and vegetables. A handful of vendors sold live wild animals, a possible source of the virus. That wasn't the only theory, though. Wuhan is also home to China's foremost coronavirus research laboratory, housing one of the world's largest collections of bat samples and bat virus strains. The Wuhan Institute of Virology's lead coronavirus researcher, Shai Zhengli, was among the first to identify horseshoe bats as natural reservoirs for SARS-CoV, the virus that sparked an outbreak in 2002, killing 774 people and sickening more than 8,000 globally. After SARS, bats became a major subject of study for virologists around the world, and she became known in China as Batwoman for her fearless exploration of their caves to collect samples. More recently, she and her colleagues at the WIV have performed high-profile experiments that made pathogens more infectious. Such research, known as gain-of-function, has generated heated controversy among virologists. To some people, it seems natural to ask whether the virus causing the global pandemic had somehow leaked from one of the WIV's labs, a possibility she has strenuously denied. On February 19, 2020, The Lancet, among the most respected and influential medical journals in the world, published a statement that roundly rejected the lab leak hypothesis, effectively casting it as a xenophobic cousin to climate change denialism and anti-vaxxism. Signed by 27 scientists, the statement expressed, quote, solidarity with all scientists and health professionals in China and asserted, we stand together to strongly condemn conspiracy theories suggesting that COVID-19 does not have a natural origin. The Lancet statement effectively ended the debate over COVID-19's origins before it began. To Gil Zimanoff, following along from the sidelines, it was as if everything had been nailed to the church, as if it had been nailed to the church doors, establishing the natural origin theory as orthodoxy. Everyone had to follow it. Everyone was intimidated. That set the tone. That statement struck Deminoff as totally non-scientific. He began searching for patterns in the available data. It wasn't long before he spotted one. China's laboratories were said to be airtight, with safety practices equivalent to those in the U.S. and other developed countries. But Deminoff soon discovered there had been 4 incidents of SARS-related lab breaches since 2004, 2 occurring at a top lab in Beijing. Due to overcrowding there, a live SARS virus that had been improperly deactivated had been moved to a refrigerator in a corridor. A grad student then examined it in the electron microscope room and sparked an outbreak. Deminoff published his findings in a Medium post titled The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, a review of SARS lab escapes. By then, he'd begun with working with another armchair investigator, Rodolphe Demaistre, a laboratory project director based in Paris who had previously studied and worked in China. Demaistre was busily debunking the notion that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was a laboratory at all. In fact, the WIV housed numerous laboratories that worked on coronaviruses. Only one of them has the highest biosafety protocol, BSL-4, in which researchers must wear full-body pressurized suits with independent oxygen. Others are designated BSL-3 and even BSL-2, roughly as secure as an American dentist's office. Having connected online, Deminoff and Demaistre began assembling a comprehensive list of research labs in China. As they posted their findings on Twitter, they were soon joined by others around the world. Some were cutting-edge scientists at prestigious research institutes. Others were science enthusiasts. At times, it seemed the only other people entertaining the lab leak theory were crackpots or political hacks hoping to wield COVID-19 as a cudgel against China. President Trump's former political advisor, Steve Bannon, for instance, joined forces with an exiled Chinese billionaire named Gao Wangui to fuel claims that China had developed the disease as a bioweapon and unleashed it on the world. With disreputable right-wing nuts on one side of them and scornful experts on the other, the researchers often felt as if they were on their own in the wilderness working on the world's most urgent mystery. They weren't alone. When Trump himself floated the lab leak hypothesis last April, his divisiveness and lack of credibility made things more, not less, challenging for those seeking the truth. The researchers are doing better research than the U.S. government, says David Asher, a former senior investigator under contract to the State Department. The question is why. That is the question. The question isn't what Trump was saying. The question is what was the scientific community doing for a full year? For a full year. According to Vanity Fair, it's all about Trump. In the wake of the Lancet statement, under the cloud of Donald Trump's toxic racism, which contributed to an alarming wave of anti-Asian violence in the U.S., one possible answer to this all-important question remained largely off-limits until the spring of 2021. Behind closed doors, however, national security and public health experts and officials across a range of departments in the executive branch were locked in a high-stakes battle over what could and couldn't be investigated and made public, according to Vanity Fair. A months-long Vanity Fair investigation, interviews with more than 40 people, a review of hundreds of pages of U.S. government documents, including internal memos, meeting minutes, and email correspondence, found that conflicts of interest stemming in part from large government grants supporting controversial virology research, hampered the U.S. investigation into COVID-19's origin at every step. In one State Department meeting, officials seeking to demand transparency from the Chinese government say they were explicitly told by colleagues not to explore the Wuhan Institute of Virology's gain-of-function research because it would bring unwelcome attention to U.S. government funding of it. I mean, this is bombshell kind of stuff, right? That the State Department was actively telling people, do not investigate where this came from, because it might expose the fact that the U.S. State Department has been providing support via channels to WIV's gain-of-function research, and WIV may have released this thing accidentally. So instead, it was important to cover up China's involvement, and also, you can always just blame it on Trump's toxic racism, absolutely. In an internal memo obtained by Vanity Fair, Thomas DiNanno, former acting assistant secretary of the State Department's Bureau of Arms Control, Verification, and Compliance, wrote that staff from two bureaus, his own and the Bureau of International Security and Nonproliferation, warned leaders within his bureau not to pursue an investigation into the origin of COVID-19 because it would open a can of worms if it continued. So don't investigate? Apparently, according to Vanity Fair, in late March, former CDC Director Robert Redfield received death threats from fellow scientists after telling CNN he believes COVID-19 had originated in a lab. I was threatened and ostracized because I proposed another hypothesis, Redfield told Vanity Fair. I expected it from politicians. I didn't expect it from science. I mean, it's amazing. Dr. Richard Ebrake, Board of Governors, professor of chemistry and chemical biology at Rutgers, said that from the very first reports of a novel bat-related coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan, it took a nanosecond, or a picosecond, to consider a link to the WIV. Only two other labs in the world, in Galveston, Texas, and Chapel Hill, North Carolina, were doing similar research. It's not a dozen cities, he said, it's three places. Then came the revelation that the Lancet statement was not only signed, but organized by a zoologist named Peter Daszak. You may remember Peter Daszak from our episode a couple of days ago about Dr. Anthony Fauci's emails. Daszak sent Fauci an email thanking him for killing the rumors of gain-of-function research being responsible for this. So apparently that Lancet statement rejecting the COVID lab leak theory as racist was organized by Daszak, who has repackaged U.S. government grants and allocated them to facilities conducting gain-of-function research, among them the WIV itself. David Asher, now senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, ran the State Department's day-to-day COVID-19 origins inquiry. He said it soon became clear there is a huge gain-of-function bureaucracy inside the federal government. On May 26th, the steady crescendo of questions led President Biden to release a statement acknowledging the intelligence community had coalesced around two likely scenarios and announced he had asked for a more definitive conclusion within 90 days. In the words of David Feith, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State in the East Asia Bureau, the story of why parts of the U.S. government were not as curious as many of us think they should have been is a hugely important one. So again, there was consistent pressure inside the U.S. government not to investigate this stuff. According to Vanity Fair, on December 9, 2020, roughly a dozen State Department employees from four different bureaus gathered in a conference room in Foggy Bottom to discuss an upcoming fact-finding mission to Wuhan organized in part by the WHO. The group agreed on the need to press China to allow a thorough, credible, and transparent investigation. The conversation then turned to a more sensitive question. What should the U.S. government say publicly about the Wuhan Institute of Virology? A small group within the State Department's Arms Control Verification and Compliance Bureau had been studying the WIV for months. They had acquired classified intelligence suggesting three WIV researchers conducted gain-of-function experiments and then fell ill in autumn 2019. As officials at the meeting discussed what they should share with the public, they were advised by Christopher Park, director of the State Department's Biological Policy Staff in the Bureau of International Security and Nonproliferation, not to say anything that would point to the U.S. government's own role in gain-of-function research. Some of the attendees were absolutely floored, said an official familiar with the proceedings, that someone in the U.S. government could make an argument that was so nakedly against transparency in light of the unfolding catastrophe was shocking and disturbing. Park, who in 2017 had been involved in lifting a U.S. government moratorium on funding for gain-of-function research, was not the only official to warn the State Department investigators against digging in sensitive places. As the group probed the lab leak scenario, among other possibilities, its members were repeatedly advised not to open a Pandora's box, said four former State Department officials interviewed by Vanity Fair. The admonitions smelled like a cover-up, said DiNanno, and I wasn't going to be a part of it. Park said, I'm skeptical that people genuinely felt they were being discouraged from presenting facts. He added that he was simply arguing it's making an enormous and unjustifiable leap to suggest that research of that kind meant something untoward is going on. Again, this looks very much like a cover-up, and it looks like a cover-up that was politically motivated by bureaucrats inside the government and media outside the government. Bureaucrats inside protecting their own asses because they were involved in funding of gain-of-function research in China that could have led to the creation and then leaking of COVID-19. And a media willing to not investigate, not cover this stuff. Because the reality is, all of this information was available at the earliest date, and the media were complicit in covering it up. The media were too busy asking Joe Biden about his cat. By the way, they continue to be too busy, generally, asking Joe. You know, the Biden administration still has not been asked serious questions by anyone other than Peter Ducey about the Wuhan lab leak theory and the cover-up. I mean, it's fairly impressive, I will admit, the media's performance on all of this. Pretty incredible stuff, and good for the folks at Vanity Fair for late, but late is better than never. It's an incredible story. You should go check it out over at Vanity Fair, because it really is telling what it means when bureaucrats run the systems. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. A federal judge has overturned California's ban on assault weapons, ruling it violates the constitutional right to bear arms. U.S. District Judge Roger Benitez of San Diego ruled the state's definition of illegal military-style rifles unlawfully deprives law-abiding Californians of weapons that are commonly allowed in most other states. President Biden has rejected the latest Republican infrastructure proposal, but White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says Biden will continue to meet with GOP lawmakers.
Part of negotiation is seeing how you can come closer to each other. He's obviously come down quite a bit in what he originally proposed, and hopefully they'll have more they can add to their proposal.
Also at townhall.com, coming soon to Twitter, sponsored videos from college athletes. Rhonda Rockstra has the story.
Open Doors, a company that's partnered with dozens of college athletic departments on name, image, and likeness programming, says the deal will allow athletes to monetize video posts on the social media platform. In less than a month, several state laws go into effect that will make it possible for college athletes to be paid for endorsements, sponsorship deals, and personal appearances. The NCAA is also hoping to have new rules in place by the end of this month. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Donald Trump says it is simply an insult. Facebook says it will suspend the former president's account for 2 years following its finding he allegedly sowed violence ahead of the January 6th riot at the Capitol. Facebook says it will reassess the suspension in 2 years and whether the risk to public safety has receded. Mr. Trump says Facebook shouldn't be allowed to get away with this. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Liberty is God's idea, and if the church doesn't proclaim it, we lose it.
Can America survive without faith in God? In the groundbreaking documentary, America, America, God Shed His Grace on Thee, producer-actor Nick Searcy explores the role of faith in America, from our founding fathers to today's most notable conservative voices.
We've got to reclaim three key institutions, the media, public schools, pop culture.
It's good versus evil, and in a greater sense, our battle is not political, it's spiritual.
Our legacy of faith became America's legacy of freedom. By returning to our religious roots, we can restore the soul of our nation. Make America, America your next family movie night.
This country is worth fighting for. Liberty is worth fighting for.
Don't miss America, America, God Shed His Grace on Thee. Available now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
After getting vaccinated, a handful of cases of heart inflammation discovered in some teenage boys.
A report published in the journal Pediatrics focused on seven teenage boys from several states who received Pfizer shots in April or May and developed chest pain within a few days. All were healthy enough to go home after several days in the hospital and were doing well, but heart imaging tests showed a type of muscle inflammation called myocarditis. Only one of the boys had evidence of a previous COVID-19 infection. The cases echo reports from Israel in young men diagnosed after receiving Pfizer shots. The CDC says they haven't determined if there's really a link to the vaccinations and continues to urge everyone 12 years and older to get vaccinated. I'm Jennifer King.
On Wall Street, Dow Industrials up 179 points. Friday, the Nasdaq climbed 200, S&P 500 up 37. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Trustees at Washington and Lee University voting against removing the name of Confederate General Robert E. Lee.
The board voted 22-6 to keep the current name. This follows an 11-month review of the name, symbols, and other issues related to the Virginia school's history. And the board says it's addressing problems by committing $225 million to scholarships and student support and creating a center for the study of Southern race relations, culture, and politics. They will rename the Lee Chapel on campus, and they're dropping Founders Day. John Scott reporting.
Meatpacking workers are showing signs of boldness in labor negotiations after going through the pandemic's health threats. The union at a leading South Dakota pork processing plant that experienced the outbreak last year has voted now to soundly reject an offer from Smithfield Foods. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Liz Ponce. We at Lassen Canyon Nursery love to support the Shasta County Farm Bureau, Shasta District Fair, and the Haven Humane Society, just to name a few nonprofits that are dear to our hearts. We are proud to live in a community that celebrates unsung heroes who give back, and we invite you to give where your heart is to help build a stronger community together. Please remember to visit Lassen Canyon Nursery before you plant your strawberry patch this spring.
Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Carolina Beach in July flip-flops of beach flip-flopping. Oh, I think I understand. Anthony Fauci and ZZ Top. Yes, Anthony Fauci, I think, has seen better days in terms of his career status, his stature as a Washington bureaucratic celebrity. We have bureaucratic celebrities in Washington. It happens from time to time. Well, we got a bunch of, you know, see, AOC, she's a government celebrity, right? Because, you know, she could have been on a TV show or something like Updated Charlie's Angels, something like that. Maybe not smart enough to be an actress, that's quite possible. But she's a celebrity, too. And, you know, Barack Obama, he was a celebrity. Really, the whole thing is a television show. And speaking of which, at the White House, no celebrities. They say, well, this isn't a celebrity White House. And then immediately thereafter, it turned into a little celebrity fest with, Vanity Fair magazine again? And Annie Leibovitz, the celebrity photographer, showing up at the White House. But we'll get into that. Because they deny whatever they're denying. It's usually what they're doing, even at that moment. It's a remarkable thing. Yes, yes, it is. Truly remarkable stuff. Anthony Fauci, he's not having a good go of things right now. And, you know, he's always been able to get by with a smile and a little twinkle in the eye. And the news media always loved him. Ho, ho, ho. They see each other at Martha's Vineyard in the summer. And they see each other at garden parties in Georgetown and elsewhere during the course of the year. And it's, oh, that's how he's on television a lot, you see. And that makes all the difference in the world in Washington because that's just the way things are around here. But old Fauci, he turns out he's got more versions of more stories. I had to tell you, his wife should start worrying at this point, the way he's getting caught flip-flopping and all kinds of things. Everybody should be worried about this guy. But he stuck around too long. This is really his problem. He thought, oh, good, you know, okay, good. At the end of my career, one more virus is loose on the planet. I can be the star again. Little did he know, the political landscape has changed very significantly since he obtained his celebrity status by way of bureaucracy and media in Washington, D.C. And he should have bowed out long ago. He should have bowed out. He could have bowed out a hero before this thing came along. And even in the beginning, in the early phases of this, you know, what's her name? Dr. Deborah Birx, the scarf. Remember the scarf? Boy, she disappeared. She's in New Zealand. She lives down the street from Matt Lauer, I think. I don't think she's really in New Zealand, but she disappeared. She's in the witness protection program. She had had enough fun, and she decided to move on. I think she recognized that this was an expletive deleted storm that you don't want to be standing in the middle of because you might get some expletive deleted on you. And she made her way out. She ditched. She's out of here. And she made the right call. All she has to do is, go someplace and stop wearing scarves, and she can be anonymous forever. It'll be okay. Fauci, on the other hand, he loved the camera too much. He wanted to be quarterback one more time, you know, that championship season. And he stayed too long. And now he's beginning to, I would assume he's beginning to regret it. But he goes on CNN, and the fake anchor, Fanker, John Berman yesterday, dedicated Democratic Party apparatchik, he actually asked Fauci about the emails. It was a very gentle, ginger question, the kind you might ask your uncle or something. And Fauci laughed and, squinted and rolled around in his chair a little. Well, I got, 10,000 emails. What am I supposed to do? Read them all? And there's another email out there of Fauci full of detail about the laboratory in Wuhan. And he said it was too long to read. The email was too long to read. This is not going very well. You know, the thing is, it's forget about how well it's going for him. There are nearly, what are we at, 600,000 American deaths attributed to the death from the city of Wuhan. And what is, really the biggest scandal of all, and it's percolated to the surface once again. Oh yes, we're of course at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. The catastrophic failure, the criminal failure of our fraudulent news media, of our, just in the back pocket of the Democrat Party and apparently the Chinese Communist Party as well. You know, these big corporations like ABC and the Disney, and they've got all kinds of ties to Communist China because they like slavery. They like slave labor. They like really cheap labor, and China provides that. And now they're going to have a three-child policy instead of a two-child policy or one-child policy because they need workers. So they're going to have the workers procreate more, so they'll have more workers. This is like an ant farm that they're building over there, and it's very creepy. And nobody here even says anything about this creepy stuff because, the big corporations, fear of China. There's a great deal of fear. Media companies terrified of China. And it's a really a disgraceful time that we're in right now, no doubt about it. But the Fauci situation and the news media, our news media, this is even Geraldo Rivera was on the television saying this is the biggest scandal of, I think he said, the century or something. It's a young century. It's hard to say if he's talking about the last 100 years or just the last 21 years. But this is a scandal of epic proportion. There are 3.5 million people whose deaths have been attributed to the virus from Wuhan, and they were telling us all along. And I got to tell you, I'm not Nostradamus. I'm not Albert Einstein. I just looked last year at the facts, few though they may have been, and all of the conflicting voices and people yelling at each other. And when you turned the volume down and looked at the facts more than a year ago, you had to raise an eyebrow at the fact that this allegedly bat-based, animal-based coronavirus came from the only city in China that has a Chinese communist government facility that studies bat viruses and coronaviruses. Coincidence? I don't know. They have those sloppy, disgusting wet markets all over the country, and there's one down the street. Yeah, it came from there. It came from there. Classic misdirection, right? Classic misdirection. It's just completely ridiculous. It's like chocolate coming from Hershey, Pennsylvania. Nothing could be more obvious. Wait a minute. We're just down the road from Hershey's, Pennsylvania, and there's a kid with chocolate all over his face. I wonder if we can put the pieces together. Let's call Sherlock Holmes, maybe Columbo, maybe Miss Marple, maybe a team of detectives needs to be called in. Or you can just, there's the Occam's razor thing. This was not tough to piece together, that this is at least one of the major likelihoods, major possibilities, if you're looking at the origins of this thing. And our news media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, shouted down anyone that spoke the truth. Senator Tom Cotton was onto this quite early. He's a Harvard Law School man, you know, he's Harvard Law School, and a decorated combat veteran, and he's a United States Senator, and he's a smart guy, but they don't like him because he's from Arkansas. And even though he went to Harvard Law School, it wasn't Ivy League undergrad, and he's from Arkansas. It might have been affirmative action or something like that at Harvard Law School. So they don't listen to him. In fact, they made the editorial page editor of the New York Times leave. They basically chased him out of there, throwing rocks and bottles at him because he allowed Tom Cotton to publish an op-ed in the New York Times. Unrelated, that was about the Democrats burning our cities from coast to coast and bringing in the military. But our media is, and that is another example of how corrupt our media is. Senator Tom Cotton, combat vet, raises question about National Guard in the streets of American cities when riots are burning and looting and, you know, sacking our cities from coast to coast. And what happens? They destroy the career of the guy that allowed the senator to write an op-ed and publish it in the New York Times, because that's our media. This is not a fair and balanced media. This is not a legitimate media. It's a very corrupt media. The New York Times is corrupt. CNN is corrupt. ABC News is corrupt. NBC News is ridiculously, laughingly corrupt. It's an amazing thing to see. And now we've got a big update. Because yesterday, another big news story broke on the Wuhan story. And you'll never guess who broke the story. Vanity Fair magazine, lab leak theory, colon. They love their colons. Inside the fight to uncover COVID-19 origins. Right? Throughout 2020, the notion that the novel coronavirus leaked from a lab was off limits. Why was it off limits, you little fascists? Catherine Eban wrote the story. Those who dared push for transparency say toxic politics and hidden agendas kept us in the dark. Well, that's the media. But now we've got Vanity Fair. Doesn't Vanity Fair like do fluff things on like transgender people wearing funny clothes? Isn't that their thing? You know, they're not exactly the New York Times. And the Washington Post and ABC News and the rest of them, where are they on this story? Where have they been on this story? They've been actively covering it up and actively attacking anyone that told the truth. And it does keep reminding me, or raise the right questions, which is the starting point of all investigations and of all journalism, just by the way, is asking the right questions, and then you pursue the answers. But that didn't happen. And it wasn't a catastrophic failure. It was by design. This was about destroying President Trump. And if you're blaming President Trump, which they were, for the death, then you couldn't also point the finger at China, where it originated. And you certainly couldn't point to the Wuhan Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China, where they were working on coronaviruses born of bats, because that would maybe look coincidental. And you wouldn't want to raise an eyebrow at communist China, because the left here defends communist China. They just hate Trump. Slavery in China, they're okay with the, you know, one-child policy, drowning the girls, they're okay with. Joe Biden said he was okay with that. And they're okay with all of that. They just hate America. They're not on our side. And so Vanity Fair, with this kind of extraordinary story by one person, Catherine Eban, and she talked to all kinds of people, and, you know, it turns out that some of our leading doctors raising questions were getting death threats from other scientists, getting death threats. And people that we know, I'm going to get into this story because it's a pretty amazing story, getting death threats. Dr. Robert Redfield, who was the director of CDC, raised the question, and he was getting death threats from fellow scientists. Oh man, this is sick. This is and what it is, here's the two word answer. The left. It's the left. You know, these weren't conservative doctors that were threatening Dr. Redfield's life, threatening to murder him. This is the left. They call themselves scientists, but they're the left, and they were threatening to murder. You know, this guy, he's got like the C. Everett Koop beard, you know, the little the kind of Amish beard, and, you've seen him 1,000 times in the last year or so. And he revealed not to the New York Times or to CNN, he revealed to Vanity Fair magazine because they're the only ones that asked. And that's kind of a big problem. Our media, this is, I'm beginning, who was I talking to yesterday? Looking at all this stuff, you know, Hillary Clinton can't lose, Trump can't win, Trump's a Russian agent, all of his people are Russian operatives. The Mueller investigation is a good, legitimate investigation. Everything's a lie. I mean, all the big stuff is a lie. The WMDs in Iraq. I'm beginning to think that Watergate never happened, that it was just ginned up, that it was a fake story. Because how far back does this go? I mean, you guys have been getting all the big stuff wrong forever and ever. Yet, remember the Covington Catholic school kids? They were too lazy to watch the video. That was too complicated for them. They could have gotten the story right if they had just spent 45 minutes watching the video. I did, and I came in. That happened over a weekend. And on Monday morning, I had the story completely right because I took the few minutes to watch the video. The entirety of the American news media didn't. CNN, NBC got sued. I hope they lost hundreds of millions of dollars. Nick Sandman, the high school kid that they hated because he had a MAGA hat on. You know, this is not a legitimate news media we have. And for more than a year, and now everybody's saying, oh, well, sure, you know, yeah, of course, that's always been a possibility. I was like, you guys are psychopaths, I got to tell you. And you pretend that you're in journalism. You're not truth seekers or truth tellers. You're frauds and liars. And now you've been shown up again by Vanity Stinking Fair magazine, which does cover stories on trans teens, and they're mopping the floor with the New York Times and the Washington Post, and CNN is a joke. I've got a bunch of good stuff for you on that today. The lab leak theory, it's back with a vengeance, as it were. We got an entire header for you today. Racism is bad, that is. Cops are bad, ? Oh, yeah, you see Andrew Yang? He's running for mayor of New York. It's not going very well. That's coming up. AOC thinks the key to fighting crime is ending prison. See, that's more criminals on the street, less crime. See how that works? Seems a little counterintuitive, but that's because she's as dumb as a rock. Boy, and she started to call prisons garbage disposals. Did you see this? We know that garbage disposals confuse her. Joe Biden took the day off yesterday because he's the first president who takes Thursdays off. It was his wife's birthday. But the press got an opportunity to quiz him. You'll never guess what they asked. Good stuff. We got climate news. We've got Where's Kamala? This is like becoming Where's Waldo. She's doing a marvelous job of doing nothing. She has so much on her plate that none of it is getting done. And the news media is praising her for it because they're not a legitimate news media. We're at 888-630-9625. And the today's January 6th riot story in the Washington Post, I'll have that coming up for you, too.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask, Could I have EPI?
Sponsored by AbbVie.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Whoa! And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Whew! For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
2020 was a challenging year, but things are looking up, including the stock market's performance. But will it last? Hi, I'm Ken Murray, Senior Advisor at Retirement Planners of America. If you are 50 or older, call us today to schedule a free consultation to learn more about our Invest and Protect strategy that is designed to help mitigate the risk of the stock market. Call us today at 800-375-1159 to schedule your free assessment. That's 800-375-1159.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save $1,000 on the new Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed, Queen, now $1,799. Plus free premium delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
I need tech that can make me as productive in my home office as I am at my office.
It's possible with Staples Connect.
How about tech that lets me work hands-free and wireless?
Also possible. Staples Connect has the innovative tech you need to work and learn from home. And now, Apple AirPods are just $129, and AirPods Pro are only $199. Explore what's new at your local Staples store or at staplesconnect.com. Staples Connect, the working and learning store. N65, limit 2, in-store only.
Maxwell, he was a runaway into rescue, great disposition. About 9 years ago, he was scratching a lot, and he started losing some hair. My vet, she says, oh, he must be allergic to the chicken. Another vet says, it's the grain. Third vet, she says, it's the weather, something in the air. And then somebody says,
DINOVITE.com.
I have been listening to the Dynavite ad, hearing about different stories of different people, and it just clicked. I got my first 90-day supply, and it took a grand total of 2 weeks. And the dog stopped itching, the hair stopped falling out.
Dynavite is nutrition.
And Maxwell loves it. Now he's close to 10, and the Dynavite is a big part of Maxwell's diet.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
And he's a spectacular dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with a get-out-and-grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher-cut New York strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York strip burgers free with your order. Visit omahasteaks.com and type sizzle in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sizzle.
If you're an attorney who struggles with the balance of managing your practice and practicing law, consider Lexicon as your number one pick. From client intake to billing, and all that comes in between, Lexicon doesn't miss a thing. Our comprehensive solution combines best-in-class software and services to take care of your firm's most critical challenges, automating many of the tasks that take time out of your day. It's all about giving you more of your billable hours back. And who doesn't love more revenue? No more searching for practice management that works. Lexicon marks the spot. Visit lexiconservices.com to learn what Lexicon can do for you.
All right, great many absurdities to get to today. Stay right there. Right now, let's go to the phones. We're at 888-630-9625. Let's go to Andrew, calling from Manassas, Virginia. Andrew, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris. So Larry had a caller, Dave, who was saying, hey, you know, regardless of where this came from, this lab leak theory, it's what our government did with it. And I thought that was brilliant. He was right. But it's also applicable to the Chinese. The Chinese knew they had this virus running through Wuhan, regardless of where it came from. It's provable they banned travel within China, but they allowed their citizens to travel out of the Wuhan district to other countries internationally. Basically, as I said to your call screener, turn their own citizens into smallpox-infected blankets to infect the world.
Right. Well, that's exactly right. That's true. They restricted air travel and train travel and other travel out of the city of Wuhan to other cities in China. But the flights were taking off daily for Italy, and then Italy became a hotbed in Europe. And you're absolutely right. I studied this stuff in my previous life when I was a straight news guy, and I covered the military and the intelligence community. And my office was in the Pentagon for 10 years and was briefed on all this stuff again and again. And terror groups looked at infecting suicidal lunatics with things like smallpox, putting them on airplanes out of major airports in Europe, long-haul planes, big planes, you're on for, you know, hours and hours, and having them cough and sneeze up a storm to spread. This is something that terror groups have plotted to do, have schemed to do. And what happened in Wuhan is remarkably similar to that kind of a sinister plot. And wait till you hear what Fauci had to say about this.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Have you opened your electric bill yet? Got sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit powerhousesolar.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Moroville was an early gold mining settlement established in 1849 beside French Gulch Creek, approximately 1.5 miles west of French Gulch. It was named for H.W. Morrow, who owned a ranch on the creek. Soon the miners were finding too much gold and moved the settlement eastward beside Clear Creek in 1854 because mining was being carried out on the streets and under the houses. A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta Historical Society.
Have you opened your electric bill yet? Got sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit powerhousesolar.com.
Yeah, Fauci is having a bad week. I was texting with a friend yesterday who says that said he thinks that they're setting up Fauci to take the fall. And I don't know, these guys really don't take the fall. You know, they wrote the rules. The rules protect themselves. And, you know, look at Governor Cuomo. Look at Bill Clinton. Look at Hillary Clinton. These people don't take the fall. Other people take the fall. They wrote the rules. They have information dominance. They control the mass media and the news media and the social media. They don't take the fall. But we'll see. He may have to go away, you know, and say, gosh, I thought I was doing the best thing, and then smile and a twinkle in the eye, and the media will say, oh, Tony Fauci, what a great career. And they'll talk about how wonderful he was, because this really, in the end, was all about getting Trump. And they couldn't blame China. See, Trump was pointing the finger at China and at the laboratory. In fact, Michael, I don't know if we have old audio of President Trump mentioning the laboratory, but President Trump talked about the laboratory, and now the laboratory is all the rage, right? Then meaning them, the left, the media, but I repeat myself, the Democratic Party, they didn't want, they were very protective of communist China for whatever set of reasons. But it was about pointing the finger at Trump and yelling, Trump did it, Trump did it. All these deaths, MSNBC, every COVID death was Trump's fault. You know, there's a virus loose on the planet afflicting everyone. I think the highest mortality rate is in Peru as we speak. And I guess that's Trump's fault too. And China has no responsibility whatsoever, no culpability at all. Because the media is so corrupt, so spectacularly corrupt. And how many giant stories are you corrupt media people going to get just completely wrong, 180 degrees off of right, from Hillary Clinton and President Trump, not President Hillary Clinton, waking up again today face down in a pool of her own vomit on the kitchen floor of one of her many mansions, the Secret Service tisking over her once again. Per Hillary with a dog over on the side doing a little. It is really just an appalling thing. And then the Russian collusion, they fed us Russian collusion forever and ever. And it was all a lie. And how did I look at the facts then? And, I mean, first of all, I looked at the facts and I said, no, I think Trump can win this election. Not a single fake mainstream news media person said that. I actually, after the election, had a, much to his credit, had a liberal call in, a Hillary and Obama voter call in and say, you know, I called in and called you names for saying that Trump could win, but you were right. And I said, well, you know, he fell victim to the news media, which lies constantly about everything. And if you depend on them, you know, they're like in the Matrix. They're the blue pill. They're the fantasy world. And I'm the red pill. And talk radio, a few outlets are the red pill, the truth pill. And these people lie and lie and lie. And how is it that I don't even mean to be thronging my own rind here. This is not about breaking my arm to pat myself on the back. How can I get all this stuff right about Trump being able to win, about the real signs showed there was no Russian collusion? And then it turned out, again, Devin Nunes, congressman, was turned into a laughingstock in this corrupt, filthy city by corrupt, filthy people because he spoke the truth. And nothing gets you in trouble like the truth, as I like to say. He spoke the truth about Hillary Clinton's opposition research being misrepresented by the FBI and J. Edgar Comey to the FISA courts so they could spy on Trump's inner circle, get these spy warrants, the FISA warrants. And it was all fake. They lied to the FISA courts again and again. It's just, you remember when James Clapper lied about not spying on the American people under oath twice before Congress? No culpability whatsoever. No ramifications, no repercussions for him. And J. Edgar Comey, who leaked to the New York Times and said it was his diary, like it's the best of bread, nothing could be more ridiculous. He lied, he cheated, he engaged in illegal leaking to undermine the elected president of the United States. He lied to the FISA courts. He used Hillary Clinton's opposition research, which he knew to be false. He knew that the primary source was already determined to be unreliable by the FBI, and they went ahead and used it again and again anyway, so they could spy on the political enemies of Comey's party. Now, the media lied. Oh, he's a lifelong Republican. If he had been, that all stopped when Trump came along, and then he abused his power to undermine the elected president of the United States. And he lied to the FISA courts, and he lied to the American people, and he leaked classified information about the FBI director's briefing to the president-elect, and he was doing it with ill intent and political purpose. And I got it. And the news media just every step of the way, wrong, 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 false, 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 and everything. The Covington Catholic kids. That's because they hate Trump. All right, and you got that toothless drunk wandering around like a jellyfish in front of the Lincoln Memorial, babbling incoherently to himself, banging on a coffee can or something. And they treated him like he's, the chief of the Sioux Nations and some kind of great American. Vietnam Times vet. Remember that? Vietnam Times vet. And, so they called him a decorated Vietnam war hero and stuff. Never went to Vietnam. The Covington Catholic kids were the villains, and Nick Sandman was the bad guy. And it was never true. All they had to do was look at the video. Our media is just such a flop, a catastrophic flop, that there's no accountability. They get awards, they get promotions for this stuff. It's something to see. It definitely is. And we've got updates now because the latest thing is the Wuhan laboratory and the origins of the COVID virus. But again, they were blaming Trump, and Trump was pointing the finger at China. So if they said, well, Trump's right, we got to look at the laboratory, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, then they would stop attacking. They'd have to, for a moment at least, take a breath and stop attacking Trump. And they couldn't bring themselves to do that because they're that filthy, rotten, to the core corrupt. That's a problem that we have. It is. Speaking of corrupt media and hero worship, Democratic Party hero worship, it was May 18th, so a couple of weeks ago and a half, the New York Times had a big story praising, you'll be surprised to learn, the Biden White House and the Biden administration and the Democrats, who they worship as though they have murdered God and they've replaced God with the Democratic Party, because that's essentially what they've done. The New York Times, in Biden White House, the celebrity staff is a thing of the past. I'm sorry, what? President Biden is undoing a long-standing Washington tradition in which staff members enjoy their own infracted fame. What's that? Their own fame? Is that what happened during the Trump years? Am I missing something? But they're praising them for being modest and humble and not seeking the spotlight. How completely absurd. It's because they have a bunch of numbskulls as cabinet members, these dim-witted people. Over at the Pentagon, the defense secretary is trying to turn the military transgender, and that's beyond that, I'm not aware that he's done anything. Lloyd Austin, who's disgraced himself really since he became defense secretary, a former four-star army general, not really doing it well. And everybody's a racist, and he's, you know, looking for white supremacists in the military or something like that. He's an African-American guy. And you have this numbskull as Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken. And he's going around the world apologizing, you know, back to the Obama-Biden days. And name another, you know, then you got the people cheating and with their investments, the energy secretary, you know, former Michigan governor Jennifer Granholm, and their millions in investments in battery, electric car battery company that she's directing money to that company and that industry, government money, taxpayer money. And that's all okay. That's not a scandal because, you know, nothing is a scandal with Democrats. They can leave women upside down dead in cars in the water, and that's not a scandal. It's quite a remarkable thing. And then still run for president, not a thing at all. So the New York Times is praising them for not having celebrity things, and you know, they're not going to be celebrity. Yesterday at the White House, Nancy Cook tweeted, spotted, in all capital letters, spotted, the word spotted, spotted at the White House. Annie Leibovitz, who is hired to photograph Jen Psaki for an upcoming magazine profile. See, an upcoming magazine. So Annie Leibovitz is probably the most famous photographer in the world. And she's a leftist, of course, and kind of a little freak show. But she takes good pictures. Now, you know, Jen Psaki is going to need a good photographer and some lighting. It's possible that, you know, what was it that was said by a Reagan staffer about Andrea Mitchell in the back of a helicopter one night? Why, Andrea, the dark flatters you. Mark Weinberg of the Reagan White House said to Andrea Mitchell in the back of a helicopter late one night, Andrea, yelling, gotta yell at the top of your lungs, you're in the back of a military helicopter, the dark flatters you. And, you know, it's gonna take Annie Leibovitz and a team of lighting technicians to get Colonel Kleb from Russia with love for her magazine profile. Now, hang on a second, because didn't we just have a fashion model first lady living in the White House, a multilingual international fashion model living in the White House as first lady for 4 years? Not a single magazine cover in 4 years for her. Every time she was mentioned in the press, she was attacked. And she's smarter than all of the reporter idiots that they assigned to attack her, and obviously more beautiful than any of the reporter idiots that they hired to attack her. She was Melania Trump, and they attacked her and smeared her. They did not praise and put her on the cover of magazines. You know, Michelle Obama was on the cover of 8 magazines a week. If there were daily magazines, she was on the cover of those magazines daily, and they were all in praise. Oh, look at her forearms, man. Look at her biceps. Sure, she's like a tow truck. She makes Larry Holmes look like Squiggly Wiggly. This is pretty amazing stuff. And then Kate Bennett has a Twitter account also. She tweeted, after a 4-year hiatus, Vogue magazine returns to one of its favorite haunts, colon. They love their colons. The White House, in addition to shoots already for VP and FLOTUS, upcoming August issue, photographer Annie Leibovitz is back to do to take a portrait of Jen Psaki. Jen Psaki. So here are all the worlds, you know, they own it's information dominance, and they're corrupt. Now, you know, the black unemployment rate is going to skyrocket, already has under Biden. And the Hispanic unemployment rate, and the borders are open, and the children are screaming like Silence of the Lambs along our border, and all of this stuff, and they're all just glowing. He's just doing a great job. Homicides are skyrocketing in Democrat cities from coast to coast. Overwhelmingly, people of color being murdered, overwhelmingly by other people of color. Not a news story. Bad things skyrocketing under Joe Biden. Good things skyrocketing under Donald Trump. He did tweet things that angered the press. Kate Bennett continued, though Leibovitz never shot Melania Trump during her tenure as FLOTUS, First Lady of the United States, she did shoot this portrait of Stormy Daniels for the 2018 issue of Vogue. Stormy Daniels, a trampy woman who accused President Trump of things. I don't know if Annie Leibovitz ever shot portraits of Paula Jones or Juanita Broderick, who Bill Clinton raped. If Annie Leibovitz shot portraits of the women that Governor Andrew Cuomo sexually assaulted, hands under the thing. How about, she's been erased from history. The Joe Biden staffer on Capitol Hill, Joe Biden, jammed his hands down her pants and sexually assaulted her. She was a staffer working for him at the time. A very credible source. And I don't think Annie Leibovitz has ever shot a picture of her. Why would that be something that Vogue magazine or Teen Vogue or Annie Leibovitz or any of these people would have anything to do with? It's because they're propaganda outlets, Soviet-style propaganda outlets. And again, Jill Biden, perfectly nice person, I'm sure. Not a doctor, of course, but, perfectly nice person. Yesterday was her birthday, apparently her 70th birthday. So Joe Biden, the President of the United States, he took the day off because it's not like he's got anything to do. He put everything on Kamala's plate, In fact, there is kind of an amusing story from the, this is another It's Good to Be a Democrat story. Remarkable stuff. Another story from the Daily Mail, and this is pretty funny. I'm glad somebody is covering it properly. It's the British media. The headline is in the Daily Mail, Kamala, that's Kamala Harris, in case you're confusing her with another Kamala. Kamala lands her sixth job under Biden, colon. I love their colons. And the word sixth is in all caps. VP now has responsibility for the border, voting rights, a vaccine tour, space, a pro-union task force, and broadband. Is that all? I think she's more. Now, I'm just wondering what Joe Biden is doing for a living. Oh, he took yesterday off. He takes Thursdays off now. He was out riding a bike with his friends, the news media. And so Kamala, see, here's the thing, and the media is going to praise her for having so much on her plate. The interesting thing is she's not doing anything about anything. Trump created millions and millions of jobs for Americans. Biden created jobs for Kamala. That's pretty funny. Oh, man. That's right. President Trump created millions and millions of jobs for Michael Piercy this morning. Trump created millions of jobs for Americans. Biden created jobs for Kamala. Now, Biden doesn't have any jobs of his own. He's going to have to cancel this summit with Putin, too, by the way. And I've got that for you today, too. Asked about the attacks on our infrastructure in the United States. The White House yesterday said to corporate America, you're on your own. We suck. We're out riding bikes and eating ice cream. We're pretending that we're fixing things when we're breaking them. So, hey, corporate America, when the Russians are targeting you and hacking you and extorting millions from you, you're on your own. That's the word from the White House yesterday. Got that. And Kamala, she's got six jobs. She's not doing any of them. But that doesn't matter because the media will praise her just for the list. And they'll guffaw and say, wow, how does she do it? And the answer, you will know, is she doesn't.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Hey, DQ fans. The Girl Scout Thin Mints Blizzard is here. The Girl Scout cookies you love meet Cool Mint and world-famous soft serve, blended together in this chocolatey, minty masterpiece. Grab it today, only at your DQ. Happy tastes good.
2020 was a challenging year, but things are looking up, including the stock market's performance. But will it last? Hi, I'm Ken Morave, Senior Advisor at Retirement Planners of America. If you are 50 or older, call us today to schedule a free consultation to learn more about our Invest and Protect strategy that is designed to help mitigate the risk of the stock market. Call us today at 800-375-1159 to schedule your free assessment. That's 800-375-1159.
303 Products has everything you need to clean and protect your ride, from our flagship protectant to the revolutionary new graphene nano spray coating, tires and wheels, interiors and leather, waxes and sealants. The list goes on. When it comes to keeping your car looking its best, you've got a lot of choices. You can trust this family-owned company that formulates and manufactures its premium products right here in the USA. For more information, head to 303radio.com.
According to the National Institutes of Health, 30% of hospital admissions in older adults are drug-related, like taking meds at the wrong time. Hero Health simplifies medication management. The smart device stores up to 90 days worth of up to 10 different pills. It dispenses them at the push of a button. Try Hero risk-free for 30 days and get free contactless delivery. Just call 800-420-7550. That's 800-420-7550. 800-420-7550. Hero. Medication managed. Hero Health simplifies medication management. The smart device stores up to 10 different pills. It dispenses them at the push of a button. Try Hero risk-free for 30 days. Just call 800-420-7550. Hero. Medication managed.
Hey.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with the Get Out and Grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher cut New York strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York strip burgers free with your order. Visit omahasteaks.com and type sizzle in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sizzle.
Since COVID, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you're an attorney who struggles with the balance of managing your practice and practicing law, consider Lexicon as your number one pick. From client intake to billing, and all that comes in between, Lexicon doesn't miss a thing. Our comprehensive solution combines best-in-class software and services to take care of your firm's most critical challenges, automating many of the tasks that take time out of your day. It's all about giving you more of your billable hours back. And who doesn't love more revenue? No more searching for practice management that works. Lexicon marks the spot. Visit lexiconservices.com to learn what Lexicon can do for you.
Okay, we got so much good stuff. I don't know how I'm going to get to it all. Right now, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Robert calling from Waldorf, Maryland. Roberto, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Chris, you know, like you tell us, man, every day is an IQ test. And, you know, the American people can't be more ignorant to take a year to figure this out. I mean, this was obvious from the get-go. I mean, what are you going to tell me next, Chris, that all them ballots they pulled out from underneath the table in Georgia that were fraudulent? Oh, you're not going to tell me next that they stole an election? Come on, Chris. This is shocking.
Yeah, it's an amazing world, is it? You're right. We live in a world where the left, the Democrats, who once again enjoy information dominance, live in a parallel universe, and it rarely comes into contact with the reality. And even the obvious, I mean, you're so right about the city of Wuhan has the only security level 4 bio research facility in the entire nation of China. We are sending money to them so they can work on coronaviruses. And then there's debate as to exactly and specifically what that money was used for. But we keep getting the slow roll on this. You notice this, Robert? Everything, every step is like pulling teeth. And with Fauci, with the government everywhere, it's like pulling teeth. Why is that, do you think?
Because the American people are absolute stupid people, Chris. You can no longer deny this. To fall for this scam, I mean, if you just take it on its thing, okay, China's lab killed 500,000 Americans. Why haven't we blown them off the face of the earth? Then they take it and they use it to you get mail-in ballots. Obvious what was going to take place with mail-in ballots. Then they steal an election. And the American people, now they're giving you all a bunch of freaking shots. They ain't giving you nothing more than the flu shot. And the stupid American people go along with it and do it. They go over there, they let them stick a 6-inch Q-tip up their nose, give them a free DNA sample. You wouldn't do that without a search warrant in any other case. But the stupid American people line up, give them a free DNA sample. Now they've got your DNA, and they've done nothing. I mean, it's just America people are stupid, Chris. I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
Robert in Waldorf. All right, good Friday call. Excellent stuff. You know, it's the Democrats have always operated under the P.T. Barnum adage that no one ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American public. They depend on, and then they dumb down our education to make sure that they keep people that way.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.